Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on the field?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team, you don't get the fact you just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you five times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
PFW in Progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. What kind of car is it, Tacoma?
Toyota.
Oh, that's good. They're a sponsor.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, a little off-air banter. All right.
You were here for like 25 minutes, and still somehow the show snuck up on you, and you weren't prepared when it came.
I got involved in a conversation.
Of idiocy, pure idiocy.
All right, well, we're here, and Paul's back. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys.
Paul is back. Eric, where's Eric?
Eric's talking to players.
He's doing
Tully Banta Kane.
Oh.
That's what we do now. We say he's
well,
doing.
Well, now that I'm back, you can start making fun of him again?
We made fun of him last week.
So he's got Tully and Kevin Falk, right? He's talking to Kevin Falk?
Yeah.
So he should
doing
be here
both
shortly.
Of them. Not at the same time, of course.
All right, everybody's here.
That would just be gross.
We got a lot to talk about today on PFW in Progress. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Web radio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And Iggy from Madrid is our benefactor today.
Amigo con grande cabeza.
From Pizzeria Grandi. And
Grandi.
We thank you for that. That is just so generous of Iggy from
Lori Baranski.
And if you're in the vicinity of Pizzeria Grandi in Washington Street in Walpole, and you go in and you mention this show or Patriots.com, they'll give you a free soda with your purchase.
And it's worth the trip. Good food.
Good.
Calzones to kill for.
I would describe their menu as extensive. Pretty much anything you can think of, they've got on their menu.
Well, I don't know if I would
go that
far.
Except for ice cream. They don't have ice cream.
Okay.
It's a pizza place. Why would they have ice cream?
Well, ice cream big on the lunchtime menu?
I could go for an ice cream.
Watch your send 2G.
Anyway, we got a lot to talk about, guys. We got owners' meetings. We got free agency. We got the draft. What's going on with my mic here?
I don't know, but you have to
My mic
all
needs
up.
A little Viagra. It's a little limp.
Easy.
Anyway, we've made a signing, offensive lineman, Dermaine Dockett. What else we got?
The compensatory picks. Worst kept secret in the NFL. Patriots get a third round pick.
The top third round pick.
97 overall. They now have six in the top 97 on draft weekend.
That's right.
Rich get richer, baby.
We believe 11 picks overall.
So. Yes, if we did the count off the top of our head correctly a minute ago.
So,
well, the important one, six in the top 100. That's pretty impressive.
It is. So that's
that ought to make our shows much more lively this year, and they're always some of the more lively shows that we do.
Now, they can't trade that compensatory pick in the third round, but now they can trade their other
trade any one of the other five they have in the first 97.
So a lot of room to maneuver for the Patriots. In
a draft that is very deep, even Bill Belichick said that 20 and 40, not much of a difference in this draft.
Okay.
Which I will say is good. I'll say that the guy at 40 is as valuable as the guy at 20, not the negative approach, which would be to say, wow, the guy at 20 could be a 40 in another draft. I think it's a good deep draft, especially at positions they need. Cornerback, edge rusher. I think there's going to be some talent available.
I heard, though, that running safety back isn't that great a position.
No, safety probably will not be a first-round pick. Certainly won't be a top 10, or, you know, we've had years where there's been a run there of really good safeties that went high in the draft. Couple guys, remember the year, what was it, Huff and Whitner, I think, went back-to-back. None of those types of game-changing safeties, likely second-round picks and beyond. But, I mean, they're not looking for an elite player there anyway. They theoretically have two starters and would be looking to add depth. I'm sure they can find somebody that can play in the third round.
Yep. Now, Paul's back, and while he was gone, I just, you know,
did not lose 20 pounds.
The fruits of Paul's labor.
Maybe 18.
Shown forth on the top 10 list. And, Paul, good job on that. Well received, the top 10 list.
Is it getting a good reception?
Yeah, it is.
Funny, I heard that it was ridiculous that the trade for Jim Plunkett wasn't higher.
Well, that was the one.
One person.
The one item of feedback that I received, Andy, was that. Was that obviously I was a, how was it put?
On the payroll.
Craft suck up. Because I went with the Belichick, the acquisition of Belichick as number one over the Plunkett trade. So that was, you know, Fred's obviously having some fun with me. That had really nothing to do with me personally, but
you
rather
were in charge.
The entire group of us that were all involved in that process. And it was pretty fun.
Yeah. And the fans so far pretty much agreed with what the experts said. Belichick has remained number one, and the Moss trade was number two.
Some of the more modern moves have been moved up in the middle. The Welkers, the Vrabels.
I think the Belichick is a, you know, is a no brainer. Now Moss, I could see moving down a little bit.
Great cash, homie.
But you know, I think with that one, you just look at the quality of player that you got for the move that you made to get him, and it's just a huge return on, you know, on investment there. So that's why I think he's remained as number two. But it'll be interesting next month, April 24th. We're going to release the next list, which is the top draft classes, top 10 draft classes in history. This one was tough, don't you think?
Well, yeah, and I think that they have more good draft classes than you would think throughout their history, and I think that's one of the things that made it difficult. And also, what generated a lot of discussion amongst all of us, I thought, was how to differentiate the years that they had multiple first-round picks,
right?
Which obviously makes it a little bit easier to get those high-impact players. In the 70s, they had a couple of occasions where they had three first-round picks. Is that draft a better draft than one that you get, you know, a great player in the first round, a good player in the second round, a decent player in the third? You got three great players in the first. How do you weigh that?
Right.
So there was a lot of discussion that went into those picks.
So that'll be April 24th. It'll initially be released on Patriots All Access, and then immediately thereafter it'll be available on Patriots.com for the fans to now then create their own list based on the pool of classes that we give them. So, and that we're going to be doing that every month throughout the season right up until the start of the regular season. Then they're going to start coming fast and furious. Every week there's going to be a new list.
Speaking of the start of the regular season.
Yes, big news. The Patriots will open up on a Monday night game in Foxborough against the Bills.
Get your popcorn for T.O., baby.
And it will, in fact, be a throwback game, is what I'm hearing. So
leather helmets?
Now, from what I understand, it will be in addition to what we already heard as two other throwback games. So at the minimum, there'll be three throwback games this year. So pretty cool. Why do you think the Bills? Because of T.O.? Simply because of T.O.?
And they made that whole day a Isn't the later game on Monday also a throwback game?
Yeah, San Diego Oakland. Oakland will be a throwback game as well.
So they have a little theme to the show there.
Yep.
Plus they have T.O., which is obviously star power in a new city. T.O. Moss, Brady returning. I mean, there's a ton of draw for that game.
And
yeah, that's a big-time game, I think.
Plus it's the AFC East. We were talking about this. For some reason, on Monday Night Football, seems like they're big on divisional rivalries. That's part of the Monday Night Football thing. And Paul hates it, and you can think what you want, but if they're doing that, that's another check mark in this game.
But I like this matchup. I just don't like the... because of the Brady return in the T.O. to Buffalo, I think that's what makes this attractive. I don't like when they just give it. They beat us over the head with Patriots-Jets, Packers, Bears, you know.
Right, when the Bears stink.
You know, yeah. Chiefs, Raiders. I mean, yes, we all understand those are all old rivalries that, you know, pretty passionate. But right now, I'd rather see the Patriots Colts than the Patriots Jets. I'd rather see the Steelers and
yeah,
Ravens.
Patriots Colts is a Sunday night game.
No, I'm just,
I mean, you have to fill in. It's a second. No matter what the NFL wants to tell you about Monday Night Football, it's a lower tier of a game.
Yeah,
clearly.
I'm not talking about Monday night, Sunday night. I'm talking about the games that the NFL features. I think if you look back, you know, we're constantly getting Dallas Washington. I don't care about that game. I would rather see Dallas play Pittsburgh. You know, yep. If I have to see Dallas in primetime, I don't care about the Redskins. Right. I don't care what a great rivalry that is for those two cities. I know they hate each other, but for the country, I think it's more attractive to see, you know, Tennessee and Pittsburgh or you know, something like that than, you know, a traditional rivalry.
They are so hung up. They're really hung up. And
well,
you know,
that's my voice because of my nose, though.
They're obviously smarter than us when it comes to TV ratings, but that's the whole thing, is what will garner the highest ratings. You know, so when you say...
I don't think they're smarter than us.
Well, yeah, I don't know, but that's the assumption, that they know what they're doing as far as ratings. So they strictly look at the markets, but, you know...
Yeah, but don't they do the same games every year?
I know, but I'm just saying, like, you know, Washington, Dallas, okay? You can't miss as far as viewership in that one.
I think that's
whereas,
what they do.
Whereas Tennessee-Dallas might be a better game, but they look at that Tennessee market and they're like,
I think they go the safer route because there's so much turnover year to year.
Well, but
they need something to bank on.
And they're not looking at the quality of the game. They're looking at the quality of the viewership. That's all they do.
But I think that's because they're admitting, we don't know the quality of the game. We can't tell you now in October this is going to be two good teams on Monday night.
Right.
So we'll take the easy way out, which is, okay, we have a division rivalry, a couple fan bases. That's a sure thing foundation to build off of, the only thing we can count on.
All right, so getting back to the Patriots against Buffalo, T.O. versus Randy Moss, the 281s. Who is more positively affected by this matchup and who is more negatively affected? Like, because we know they both.
I don't think either will be negatively affected.
You don't think so?
No.
I think T.O. will.
I think he'll be more positively affected.
No, it'll affect him and he'll get pumped up. But if one bad thing happens, you know how he acts. It'll be too much for him.
I think early in the year you're going to get a T.O. show.
I think there's
a good chance for a number of reasons. The whole stupid, and I agree with him, that Sean Springs is for some reason the greatest corner and going to shut him down. I think he'll hear that. I think first in a new city, he knows the doubters.
Sean Springs may not even be a starter.
No, I know, but it was sold everywhere that he was kryptonite. Oh, kryptonite, shut down T.O., great. We'll see. I don't think the Bills have a shot in hell of winning. But my guess is T.O. will have a good game.
Like in the Super Bowl?
My guess is he has 6 catches for a buck something and a touchdown.
Really?
Yes.
That's a real good game.
Right. And he'll lose because his team's not as good. And as Paul and I were talking about, one thing the game will be lacking is likely Marshawn Lynch, who will be serving a suspension.
So
if the Bills had any chance of being balanced and, you know, coming out of the season.
Yeah, I saw Lynch met with
Goodell. No chance.
And he said that he expects to be.
Yeah.
Suspended, so obviously if he is, it's going to be the first 4 games.
Right.
So he won't play in that first game against the Patriots.
Well, I mean, don't rule out the Bills getting somebody in the draft that's a decent runner. I mean, they do draft
that's fine,
running
but
backs.
But he's not Marshawn Lynch. He's a proven workhorse running back.
They like to draft running backs. So, I mean, there's still a lot of unknown factors on every team's roster. The Bills, as we know them today, aren't going to be the Bills that open up the 2009 season. So, you know, they could have a replacement for Marshawn Lynch.
I mean, if a rookie running back comes in and controls the game for the Bills, I'll be stunned against these Patriots.
Oh, it'd be Fred Jackson, right? He's still there.
But Fred's arguing they're going to draft some Donald Brown, and he's going to rush for 150 yards against the Patriots.
Maybe.
I'll be stunned.
They're not going to use a high draft pick on a running back. I mean, maybe they get
I don't think so either, but that's what Fred's arguing.
Maybe they get one late in the draft, and he's a surprise and ends up contributing or something. But I can't see them. They just took Lynch in the first round 2 years ago, and he's been very successful. I think they have other needs. They need some playmakers. I think the T.O. move for them, and that happened, obviously, I'm sure you guys talked about it a lot when I was gone. I think that
we didn't actually. What are you
for
talking
them,
about?
Made a lot of sense.
I think it's a no-lose situation for them. I think, why not?
I would want it.
See,
I think the Patriots had a lot to lose.
Right.
That's why I don't think it made sense
for
the Patriots.
But for the Bills?
The Bills don't have anything to lose.
Right.
I think you're absolutely right, Fred, and Andy, as usual, is wrong. because they are already flatlined and mediocrity.
See, you guys, well, not you, Paul, because you got the Florida.
I agree with you.
But Andy, I mean, you're closed in here. When you listen to sports radio, it's EEI, but I listen to Sirius.
I don't listen to EEI very often.
And I hear some of the other fans, and I was listening to Bills fans, and at first it was why bewilderment, but a lot of them are saying now, why not? I mean, it is so boring here. We got nothing to look forward to.
There's no question. Now, boring went out the door.
Yeah, now it's like we're excited about the season. We want to see what's going
to
happen.
I thought you were building a good young football team that would compete for years. I didn't know that the idea was to sell a couple tickets this weekend.
I think you can do both.
If that's the idea, then sign T.O.
I don't think getting T.O. means you can't build a good young football team.
I think it could be a detriment to a good young football team.
He's no.
A good young quarterback who's trying to establish himself. I think a feud with T.O. is not the best step for Trent Edwards'
those
career.
Those things can't happen, and I'm praying that they do.
Yeah, but those things happen no matter
and
where
if you sold 12 jerseys, okay, great. Right. Sold 12 jerseys and set your franchise back.
Look, if Edwards is the quarterback they think he is, this is a good test for him. If he can weather that, then he really is a quarterback. If he can't, maybe they need to look for someone anyway.
Sure, if that's your theory.
He's only going to be there for a year.
I know.
So, to me, it's a no.
He could be a major disruption for a year and then, be an adverse effect on Marshawn Lynch or Paul Posluszny or any of these young players.
Now they're talking really about more games in Toronto.
Yeah, I do. Marshawn Lynch, I think, is a punk. And I think adding T.O. to a guy who already has some issues and is supposedly part of the foundation of our future is not a good idea.
So you think,
especially with a weak-willed coach in the front office.
So you don't believe anything that Lynch said then coming out of that meeting about what he intends on doing?
I don't care what he said.
See, I think he's the least of your worries with T.O. I think the quarterback thing that you brought up is a mild concern because it's a young
quarterback. Young players who could be adversely affected by T.O.
Well, I don't think Paul Posluszny is one of them, for one. I do think, a guy like
what about Lee Evans?
No, see, I think Evans could be impacted, but I think it's going to help him be a better player.
Could be, yeah.
Much like Moss has helped other receivers succeed here. And I think that it's going to open up the field a little bit, and I think Lee Evans is going to find himself without so much company on every pass route that he has.
On the football field for a half a season, it's a great move.
So I think that's going to help
him. I just think long-term it's a terrible move for the locker room and the franchise.
Well, long-term he's not going to be around. That's why I
would agree
with you.
But his impact will be.
See, I don't think
whatever he did, whatever he taught young players, whatever they saw,
but if he
could adversely affect them,
if he blows up and he's a disaster there, I just think you pull the plug and you're out and you're right back where you were when you started. You're a mediocre team. They needed guys.
I think
they needed playmakers. They need playmakers on both sides of the ball. They got one on offense. They still need help on defense. They still need guys that can get after the passer, that can make plays in the secondary. They're not I don't think they're anywhere near close to a quality team yet. That all depends on the quarterback, and that's the one concern that you brought up that I agree. T.O. is eating up established quarterbacks, Jeff Garcia, Donovan McNabb, and Tony Romo.
He chewed him
what is he going to do with a guy who has no credentials in Trent Edwards? So
you're not worried about it. You're worried about selling 12 jerseys in September.
No, I'm not worried about
you and Fred.
No, I'm not worried about selling anything. I'm worried about scoring touchdowns. I don't care about the marketing. I leave that
to
marketing.
To me, that's irrelevant because, as
you need
said,
someone to
they're
help
not
your
a good football
team win.
They're not going to win.
But he might make them better.
And
he
what does
generally,
that matter?
He generally makes you better initially.
What does that matter?
What do you mean?
What does three extra wins in 2009
matter?
It's a
playoff team for them. That puts them in the playoffs. If he's three extra
first
wins.
Of all, I don't think they're a playoff team.
If you go from 8 wins to 11, you're not going to be a playoff team?
Getting into the first round of the playoffs and losing, to me, is irrelevant.
Patriots prove that that's not necessarily the case. You don't necessarily make the playoffs with 11
wins. I'd be looking long-term there, not short-term.
No, I understand what you're saying.
I think they're doing both.
I just can't imagine you were so pro-T.O. for the Patriots and you're so anti-T.O.
Because
for
nothing
Buffalo.
I wanted played out. He got $6.5 million guaranteed to go to Buffalo. I wanted him crawling to New England as his only option. I didn't know there were going to be dumb teams like Buffalo willing to give him $6.5 million guaranteed. I think that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. The fact that a team where I don't even believe he fits gave him $6.5 million guaranteed. I just can't comprehend. I just didn't really understand it.
Well, Ralph Wilson didn't understand.
And he hurt his shoulder, so.
So, next step, it'll be interesting. Good draw for the Patriots. Easy win. Check it in the win column.
Well, you guys all have fears about Brady returning, right?
I don't.
If he's.
Why do you say you guys? I don't.
Because you thought he was never going to return.
Okay.
But honestly, if we're going to look at.
This is his latest thing.
Are you telling me he never said that he worried that Brady got a taste of the outside world and more taste of everything and didn't come back?
It might have been a rumination. But
the hell is a rumination?
But it wasn't. Certainly wasn't something that...
You were a little concerned.
No.
Yes, you were.
I'm not concerned.
Liar.
I'm not concerned.
What the hell's going on in this show in my absence?
He just goes off. I don't know what his problem is.
But I mean, it is the first game with Tom Brady having missed a year.
Apparently, I said this, what, months ago?
Oh, yeah. It was like right when
he first got hurt last September. Okay. But since then, I've learned things, and the last time I've said it was last September.
Okay.
But have I said anything since then to counter that?
Probably. That's what you do, flip-flop back and forth across issues.
But you don't listen to those things.
That's true. Half the stuff you say I don't listen to because you cover all your bases.
That's why you'll never go anywhere in this world, because you don't listen. Because
I don't change my opinions like you do.
And, you know, there's a lot of things that I've said that if you took heed to,
Dexter Reed's wearing 24.
In your progression as a man.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well,
but no, seriously.
It
is the first game. The Bills have a jolt from T.O., and you have Tom Brady returning, who might not be perfect. I mean, things might not be clicking on all cylinders. The secondary in New England is totally reworked. Regardless of who plays, it's totally reworked. So if a guy's a step slow here and T.O. beats him deep, all of a sudden a big play. Every opening day game, to me, you have some trepidation.
That's true.
Because you haven't found out who you are, who they are.
That's true.
Things go in different directions.
Anything can happen.
And if T.O.'s on the other team and he has two big plays, I mean, that levels the playing field.
Yep.
I think the Patriots are a far better team.
But your job is to see what's most likely to happen.
The Patriots win.
Okay. That's what I'm asking.
I don't have my Fred Kirsch blinders on and say there's no way in hell that on opening day T.O.'s Bills couldn't score
some
points.
I wouldn't
think of this as the way I thought of the opener last year going in against Kansas City at home.
No.
Right.
I didn't think there was any possible scenario.
Except.
And even that one didn't result in a loss.
Right.
So I don't look at it that way. I think Buffalo is an okay team. I think that they needed some serious firepower.
Yep.
And that's why I don't think this was a bad move for them. Now, if they wanted to, you know, give him a 3-year deal, and like Andy said,
surprised they didn't. 3 years guaranteed.
He had some guaranteed money there. I think that would have been a foolish move for Buffalo. But for 1 year, I think he can come in and do some things, and then you have to make that decision because you know he's going to have a good year.
Okay, let me amend that. The worst decision is not that they sign him to 1 year guaranteed.
Re-sign
the worst decision is if they re-sign him after next year.
And I might,
not to mention, by the way,
I might jump
he
off
continues
the wagon.
To get older and older, and no one seems to
He's
take
35.
That into account.
I know. At some point,
just because he has a lot of stuff, the Fred Kirsch juice plan pumping through him, sooner or later he's going to get old.
Yeah, that's true. All right. The other thing we want to talk about is this: the owners' meeting are going on in California. And there's been some rule amendments, changes.
The wussification of the NFL continues.
The latest one is that we've heard about is what they're calling the Brady rule.
Right.
This is a new rule where if a player is down on the ground and then lunges forward and hits basically anywhere in the vicinity of the knee, it's going to be a penalty unless he's been blocked into it fouled into it.
I also think the Brady play wouldn't have counted because Sammy Morris was blocking him.
Kind of, yeah.
But there was contact there.
Yeah.
He was affecting the defensive player, so I don't think that should have been a penalty even under the new word.
Honestly, I don't like the rule.
Stupid.
I just think it's just a little bit too much.
I think it's dumb.
And I'm also sick and tired of – I know the quarterback is by far the most important position. It's the glamour position. But we're going so far to protect quarterbacks. Are you telling me Adrian Peterson is not as valuable to the Vikings? As a team leader, an offensive leader, everything. He is the Minnesota Vikings.
In that case, but the
And T.O. in Buffalo now. You're going to tell me T.O. is not the star, the impact player in Buffalo?
Let's only protect
quarterbacks. Whatever you want to the other
quarterbacks
guys.
Quarterbacks are in the most vulnerable position. They're standing flat-footed, surveying
the
field.
You know what? Maybe they should go play a different
sport. They're not necessarily running, you know, looking at what's going on. They're looking downfield to make a play.
Well, the receiver's running downfield looking for a ball, and he could get hit.
They rely totally on their blockers. Yeah, but when you're – it's not the same.
I don't think we should be able to dive at Adrian Peterson's knee. He's a marquee player.
Look,
he's key to the league. He's great to watch.
I know you're
fans
just,
love
you're
him.
Just trying to be confrontational today. But
No, I just – I hate the wussification of the league.
I do too. But you do understand the importance of the quarterback in the game of football.
And if I'm not mistaken, the NFL went on last year without Tom Brady.
Right. That's
the Patriots
true.
Went on. They
that's
won 11
true.
Games.
But
they found a new story that was actually pretty damn interesting.
It didn't help this team, though. The Patriots, I mean, not just – on the field, but in other ways, it hurt the organization.
Sure.
All right. So, but
Andy is all loaded.
I agree with. Now we're just getting a little bit too crazy about these types of penalties.
What's the sport we're playing? You know, I thought it was football.
I was talking to Paul. And I think here's my answer to this whole damn thing with the launching and the hitting in the head. And now you can't even hit somebody in the helmet with your shoulder. Did you know that?
Right.
It's not just helmet to helmet. It's launching yourself and making contact with the helmet, even with your shoulder, is going to be called.
I didn't even know that. So they did something with it. That's evidently the what's the safety's name? I forget his name now.
Anthony Smith.
No, that's the one that we.
Well, it was the Pittsburgh player.
Yeah,
that hit.
That's the one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. It was the other Pittsburgh
Clark,
player.
Ryan Clark.
Yeah. So that's the Ryan Clark rule,
right?
Because he was hitting guys too hard,
right?
And you know what's going to take?
That's even more ridiculous.
You know what it's going to take for this to go the other way is a safety to be paralyzed because he's shying away. He's trying to avoid. They're thinking too much back there. If you're a safety, I don't know what you do. I mean, you have to be thinking nonstop.
My answer to this whole thing is make it simple. If you're going for your tackle, the arms have to be outstretched. They have to be in front of your body.
So what happens, Fred? And I understand.
But
we
can still hit this with your head.
Yeah.
Of course you can. But there's going to be there's going to be 90% less chance that you're going to have a helmet-to-helmet launching.
But is it a penalty if you hit him with your shoulder, with your arm out?
You're never going to catch me.
Of course not.
Well, I mean,
but what these guys are doing is they're basically folding their arms in front of them and launching themselves as a missile.
That's a problem.
Yes, I agree with that. I think they need to.
They're not going for the tackle. They're going for the hit.
Right.
If you're going for the tackle, your arms are out. And that will, I think, it's not going to reduce these 100%, but it will significantly reduce these types of hits that the NFL is trying to avoid. You have to have your arms out front.
I agree.
Now, we talked about it earlier, me and Paul said, well, what happens like if you're at the line and you're kind of being held up and you see the guy coming through your hole and you kind of just lean into him? Oh, that's fine. That's close quarters. These things happen in the open field.
In space. You're talking about in space.
It's
not a terrible idea. Have you brought this up to ownership?
I'm going to. And I, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, Roger Goodell or Greg Aiello or Frank Pereira are listening right now. And if they are,
Frank Pereira. Who is Frank Pereira?
I think he's the webmaster for the NFL.com.
You got to give credit for that. That was good. That was good.
That's not a terrible idea, honestly.
No, and we talked about it upstairs. Yeah. Fred brought that up this morning.
Either you're going for a tackle or you're not. And you can't tackle a guy with your shoulder. You have to wrap him up. So have the arms out front if and guys, that will limit it. It won't eliminate it, but it will limit it.
It's probably one of the better ideas I've ever heard you spout off with.
Anyway.
I'm being serious.
It's not a bad idea to, without the wussification of the game, it's a very simple thing.
Right.
And
I don't know what you
do. I kind of like it.
I don't know what you do as a defensive back when you're constantly in space.
Right.
Trying to tackle receivers now. Do you go in and you just say, let me go for the shoestring tackle? Who knows what year they're going to outlaw hitting the receivers below the waist?
And the other thing is,
you're tackling receivers that are usually bigger than
you. Well, that's what I was going to say. I have no problem thinking if Wes Welker's coming, because I feel pretty confident that as a safety, I'm going to take him down. But if Terrell Owens is coming, I'm not comfortable thinking, because my only priority is getting him on the ground, because he could embarrass me on national TV right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just don't see these things as being anywhere near as big a problem as they do. Now, I understand that the concussions and the helmet safety, that's an important issue. And that's definitely drawing to the forefront right now with all of the different stories that we've heard. But I don't see these other
things.
Part
of that's their fault. They poo-pooed it for years and made half-assed efforts to look into concussions and that whole Dr. Yes back on the field. So they do these things that are like good PR moves. They look like they're doing something, but they're not always taking all the steps that are necessary to fix the problem.
But these kinds of things that they're doing, this Brady thing, I mean, why didn't they look into this in 2005 when Carson Palmer got rolled into? That wasn't a cheap hit either.
Right.
It just was an unfortunate injury with Kimo von Olhoffen. And they didn't do anything then. So, how many serious knee injuries have quarterbacks suffered over the years? A lot.
Right.
But do you see defensive players taking low shots at quarterbacks on a consistent basis? No.
No.
They're freak kind of injuries. I don't think there was anything intentional on Bernard Pollard's mind, as much as it pained us all to see Brady go down for the year. And even you were in agreement on that, Fred.
Yeah.
Why do they have to legislate stuff in to fix things that aren't broken?
It's too much. It's too much. And it's going to come down to a game will be decided on a call like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one team's fan base and team are going to be pretty upset because it's going to be a very subjective call.
And that's the other thing is, like, they assume that so many players are trying to hurt each other. And I just think the percentage that may actually be trying to hurt each other is
so small.
Tiny. Well, minuscule.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I think Bernard Pollard was trying to hit Brady any way he could to bring Brady down because he's thinking this is the difference between winning and losing. I have to hit my job here is to bring Brady down.
And let's not forget that he had the ball in his hand
right.
when he hit him.
I think there's very few players that try to hurt other players. I really do.
Yeah. I think though in the heat of the battle, sometimes you do things that, you know.
But it's like, you know,
see, I don't.
I take a lot of shots at Rodney for his, you know,
he takes at other people.
Sometimes outside of the box play. But do you honestly think that he's trying to hurt the guy?
No. He's trying to send a message.
He plays with an edge.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I don't think that he goes out there with the intention of, you know what, if I get a chance, I'm diving on a pile late. I'm going to try to hurt this guy.
It's just like, you know, in our profession, you see a writer get laid off. You feel that. You know, no one's
even
looking
if you
for
don't,
that.
Even if you don't like the person, right. the individual that gets affected, it's bad for the business. It's bad for everybody when something
Part
like that happens.
Part of the problem is...
That's how the players look at it.
Everything lags behind. Okay, so if this is the wave of the NFL, this is how it's going to be. You can't hit quarterbacks anywhere. But the problem is Pepper Johnson is coaching his players to play a certain way, most likely the way he played from 84 to 94, whenever he played. So until
That's a good point.
Richard Seymour is coaching and he grew up in the – so everything is like 10 or 15 years. Chuck Cecil, how do you think Chuck's – he's the new defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. Yeah. I don't think he's playing by the you can absolutely not make contact with the other guy's head in any way.
How can he coach this new rule to his
He's coaching
backs.
The way he played, the way he was coached by some – you know,
he was
so
a psycho.
It's such a lag behind in terms of it actually trickling down through the coaching staff.
Right. All right.
The Ryans, I mean, Buddy Ryan's kids are now head coach Rex Ryan's, and
well, you got Rex Ryan. We're gonna rip people's heads off. And
no, you can't. That's a 15-yard penalty now.
And that's part of the problem, though. Like, I mean, if I'm an owner, I guess I don't even hire those guys as coaches because what they believe in philosophically to build a football team, being tough and defensive minded, isn't allowed by the National Football League anymore.
Well, it's like Logan Mankins. You know, he believes in punching guys in the nuts.
Right.
You know, you just can't do
Was
that.
Was that wrong?
But on offense, you can do it.
Is there a rule against that?
If you're a defensive lineman, he'd be suspended for life.
Chris Ferreira says that Paul's mic is overmodulating.
Paul's mic just sucks.
Tell
so
Ferreira to stick to what he's good at.
Big slap down by 2G on Ferreira.
Hey, in all seriousness, should I go to the other mic? Is it not?
It sounds
Read the email after that says the pause button doesn't work.
What I can't I didn't
what doesn't work?
I don't understand that through your whatever accent that was. What did you say? Now he's on the phone.
He's
overwhelmed. Yeah, leave him alone.
He's got the phone ringing. He's pushing buttons again. that's Ferreira calling him. He listens to every word you
Does this
he
sound
does.
Better?
He's a clown.
Yeah, that does sound a lot better.
Well, it was sort of a limited sampling there. Yours didn't sound terrible all the time over there.
No?
Yell. Get Call Fred a loser.
No, it did. It sounded tinny.
I'm using that to you today. I'm kind of liking it.
No, now you sound good. Now you you got a little bass in your voice.
I have a radio voice. That's because of all the phlegm.
Yeah. No, there's something wrong with that mic.
I'm already done.
We had trouble with that last week. Remember?
We had trouble with that before Paul left for 2 weeks, and obviously nothing's been done in the time being to fix it.
2G, before you leave, put in a requisition for some new mics.
Requisition?
Apparently someone took a look at it, and it was deemed okay, but we'll do it again.
Who's someone?
Who looked at it? Edie?
Oh, wait, was it the other old guy?
Eddie Mack.
I mean, really?
What the hell's going on?
Who deemed it okay? Who? Now he's deemed
it. I can't hear it back in my head. I don't know the difference here.
I'm not throwing anybody under the bus.
Who looked at it? Dvorkin.
Had somebody look at it.
Well, why can't Dvorkin look at it? What is so hard?
Because he's more useless than I am.
I know, but
if Dvorkin doesn't know how to fix it,
the mic
doesn't know how to fix
doesn't
it.
Work right.
We had a professional come in and he said everything was okay.
No, we just need a new mic. Just
well,
put in
wire.
A mic in.
It could be the wire.
It's probably the
mics
wires.
Cost money,
Fine.
Fred.
We should have an extra of everything anyway.
I agree with that.
Let's read Eric's mic. He doesn't use it anyway.
Let's read this
he
whole
moved
studio.
Over. He moved over to the seat that shall not be named seat.
Oh.
Why don't we sell some of these plasmas and fix
the
studio?
That was your seat, wasn't it?
Why aren't the TVs
Tom
on?
Tom used to sit here?
Because we didn't turn them on.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get easily distracted. We're trying to have a good show today for once.
All right. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Big Al from Georgia is on the phone. Big Al, how you doing?
Good afternoon, boys.
Speaking of a little bass in the voice, Fred.
Yeah.
Big Al.
Just fellas, just get yourself some basic dynamic microphones.
Right. Al, gonna sound Al's fine. Phone sounds better than our microphone.
It really does.
It does.
I think it's because of Vonage. We'll just give the credit to Vonage.
He's actually on a Bluetooth driving around and it sounds better.
So you're a Vonage customer.
I really am. I'm sold. I imagine there's cheaper deals out there, but I think they're pretty so good to just be able to pick up the phone and dial and not have to sweat, you know, any kind of rinky-dink charge,
yeah.
You know, just a monthly fee and just dial away.
Well, I think the Comcast of the world and all the big, they're going to have to get with it because it's, you know,
you have problems
you're
with
right.
Your phone?
What?
You
I don't
have problems with your
I don't
phone?
Have problems, but there's no reason to charge that much anymore.
Oh.
You know?
I don't think I got charged that much for my phone.
Well, fellas, the subject today is we've got the owners' meetings, you know, going on out west, I guess. And you probably, I don't know if you discussed this previously. I haven't listened to the last couple of shows, but, you know, there is the so-called Brady rule that has been
just
invoked.
Talk about that, yep.
Yeah, and personally, I'm all for it. I think it could have been just as easy the Carson Palmer rule a couple of years ago. I'm glad they're protecting the quarterbacks from the knees down. I think that's way, way overdue. And, you know, you get into the debates about, well, you know, it's this football and it's a tough game and why are you protecting these people and, you know, you're a wussy and all this crap. You know, come on. You know, if you want to be that way, why do we even have rules to protect the punter? Let's get rid of roughing the punter then if football is a tough game, you know.
I'll be honest with you. I think they call that too closely.
Well, you know, that's a different argument. You know, if the application or the execution is wrong and the officials are calling it wrong, then that's a different discussion.
Yeah, I'm not against roughing the passer as a penalty. I'm against when the quarterback has the ball in his hands, some hits being legal and some hits being illegal.
And why is
if the guy has the ball in his hand, you should be able to hit him.
Why is his knee any more valuable than Adrian Peterson's?
Well, because Tom Brady's knee is worth much more money than Adrian Peterson's, and kids go to the jersey stores and they buy Tom Brady's jersey. They don't buy Adrian Peterson's jersey. That's just kind of like
the Vikings would disagree with that because if they didn't have Adrian Peterson, they wouldn't be on the NFL radar.
I do think though that why is it more valuable? It's more vulnerable, and I think that's why you need to do
that. That's true too. That's actually a better point.
He can defend himself a little bit better.
I'm Tom Brady, and I'm looking downfield. It doesn't take any big act of courage to dive at my legs when I'm focusing downfield.
I just don't see that happen very often, to be honest with you. I don't see a lot of guys diving at quarterbacks' legs. I mean,
well,
we
you see it
two
enough,
in the last
and then,
5 years.
And the consequences are dire when they do happen. Yeah. So,
but what are they? He got hurt. He missed the year. Life went on.
Well, no, I mean, you know that it affected
you can't
this organization.
Right.
Brady,
just like every injury
like
affects every organization. You know.
I'm not dismissing Tom Brady. He's a vitally important player in the National Football League, not just for the Patriots. And I recognize that. I just don't think there was anything illegal about the hit. I don't think there was anything vicious about the hit.
Oh, I don't think there was anything
illegal.
I think
it was an unfortunate injury.
There absolutely wasn't anything illegal about the hit. Now, there might be.
But they're trying to make it illegal, and
yeah.
I think that's wrong.
But I think the mistake that you're making is you're saying, well, because it wasn't intentional, because the player, the defensive player, and the same thing with Kimo von Ohlhofen on Carson Palmer.
I didn't think that was cheap either.
He was terribly upset at what happened.
Yeah, right.
But just because my intentions might be good, just because I didn't mean to put the guy out of the playoffs or out for the year, that doesn't mean that you don't try to regulate that conduct. Just because my heart's in the right place, I can still commit a penalty even if I'm intending not for the guy to be gone. They do intend now, when they go after these quarterbacks low like that, the intention is, it may not be to put the guy out forever, but it definitely is to send a message, to scare the guy.
I
don't think so.
Bernard Pollard was trying to do his job, which was bring Tom Brady to the ground.
The ball to the ground.
I think a hard hit, you might be right, but when they do that, I think it's just to bring the guy down.
Right. I think launching towards the head is to send a message. You're trying to lay somebody out, set a physical tone. I think when you're coming on a blitz and you stumble, get blocked, whatever, you're trying to bring the guy with the ball down.
Yeah. I mean, you just don't have time to get back up on your feet and hit the guy above the waist.
I think it's a good rule, and if you're going to, you guys are a little bit more nuanced in your discussion than a lot of what I've heard But if you're gonna do this, where you know it's a tough game, and you know you're a wussy if you're for these rules,
yeah.
then you know then get rid of roughing the punter. Then let's just go after the punter, and then who cares because it's a tough game.
Al, were you listening earlier? Did you hear my theory? I'm sorry, I just
picked up the phone.
What do you think about this?
He hasn't read your thesis yet, Fred.
What do you think about this? We go, we erase what we've got as far as these illegal hits, and we create a new rule. If you're going for a tackle, you must have your arms extended. In other words, you can't launch yourself with your arms folded up on your chest. You have to have your arms extended. To me, that simple little rule would limit the amount of these bad hits significantly.
I think it would be worth trying that in the preseason at least.
Yeah.
Just to see what, you know, what the impact would be.
Now,
a lot of these things you can try them in the preseason and see how they go.
Now in close quarters, obviously, you know, you're protecting a hole, being held up, you lean into the hole with your shoulder, you make the tackle, whatever. But in the open field, when you're going for a tackle, you should be going for the tackle and not the hit. You have to have your arms in front of you. And then whatever happens after that happens.
It would at least promote proper tackling technique.
Exactly.
Which we don't have a lot of.
That's right, yeah.
The name of the game is tackling, after all. It's
right.
Blocking and tackling. It's not, you know, getting on the highlights, which unfortunately, the NFL sort of promotes that a little bit itself. They're almost their own worst enemy on some of these.
Lawyer Malloy was never a good sound tackler, but he had speed. When he lost the speed, he just couldn't tackle at all.
There you go.
You know?
Anyway, on to subject number two. Forgive me. I think you make a good point, Fred.
Thank you.
I'm kind of disappointed that the league has not taken up at least having a discussion about overtime. It's like they've kind of taken that off the agenda before the meeting, even, which is interesting.
Well, but, you know, I
wish that. Go ahead.
I heard, you know, one of the coaches talking about why it wasn't taken up, and he said, "Look, the coaches aren't complaining about it, and the players aren't complaining about it. So why change it?" Yeah.
If nobody's complaining, then, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm on board with that, too. But if – and I'm not saying I'm going to jump off the bandwagon and fuss and cry if they don't change it. But I did go to one – I went to two games this year in Jacksonville. I'm close to Jacksonville, as we've discussed before. And the first game I went there, went in Jacksonville, was the Patriots had their bye week in September. And I went down to see the Jaguars hosting the Houston Texans. And that game went to overtime. The Jaguars won the coin flip. They went down the field, you know, 40, 50 yards, whatever. They kicked the field goal. They won the game. You know, I'm not saying that I'd be sick over, you know, but I think that a simple solution to this, and it's so simple that it may be completely stupid, or it's so simple that it's genius. I mean, you tell me one way or the other, but it's simple. And that is that just pick an amount of minutes that you think is reasonable. I really don't care what it is. I mean, it could be 8 minutes, it could be 10, 12, 15, whatever. Just say we're going to set the clock at X minutes, and then we're going to play those minutes out. And it's not going to be what the first score is, sudden death, it's going to be what the final score is.
So just play a whole fifth quarter.
Well,
play
you could.
Another 15
I mean,
minutes.
I just don't think you can do that because it's putting too much wear and tear on the players. You know, I don't mind it the way it is. If they went and changed it to guarantee each team a possession, I'd be fine with that too. But I think beyond that, now you're asking players to play too much extra. You know, football.
I thought of that too, Fred.
But if you ask
that's why I'm willing to settle for less than 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Do,
and
if,
plus, you've got
you
the networks have to kick off
right?
at 4:15 or whatever. I mean, you got to play that into it as well. They don't want to keep waiting on games.
I mean, there
to
is
finish.
Such a thing as, you know, 7 minute drives. You
right.
know?
No, but if that happens, you lose.
Yeah, I guess
there you
so.
Go. If you can,
so.
If you're good enough to pull off a 7 or 8 minute drive, then yes, then I agree with the sentiment that is, you know, you should have stopped them.
The Jets drive last year would have qualified. That took 7 or 8 minutes,
right,
didn't
right,
it?
Right. Yeah.
You know, if you can't stop them in 8 minutes, you lose.
Yeah. I
there
that's
you go.
Fair.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm willing to live with that, but I think that the this business of, you know, you can't if you can't stop them, you deserve to lose, even if it's only a 2.5 minute drive to kick a field goal.
They
that somehow you should have
either.
Stopped them. I mean, you know, you could use that in the other sports. You could say, well, in basketball, let's just flip a coin. You know, you can score on defense in basketball, and the first basket wins because you should have stopped them.
Yeah, well,
you know,
but
and in baseball, you know, you just flip a coin, and you know, whoever scores the first run,
right.
It's over because you know you should have stopped them. I think the you should have stopped them argument is that's
you,
a little weak.
But you know, you get those games where you know Colts Kansas City a few years ago where neither team rarely punted, you know. So they're back and forth. Neither team can stop the other. Then it's just a matter of who got the ball first in overtime. Kind of kills that whole thing, you know.
Right.
That's what I think people don't like.
Right. And I think that's what Al doesn't like. And the one thing I would agree with, I don't know what the best solution is. I've heard all the different ones, but I do agree with Al. I don't understand why they wouldn't at least talk about it. It's almost like an institutional arrogance on the NFL's part.
Right.
We know better than the fans. The fans are all on upper arms, but they don't really know what they're talking about. We don't really see a need to look at this. Everything is it's not broken. We won't fix it. And it's the same kind of thing they did with the Tuck rule, which everybody saw the flaw in at the time, but they refused to even look at it at the competition committee because they knew it was so controversial and they didn't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. It was such a big call. I just think it's arrogance.
Yeah.
You know, well, Paul, they talk arguing, about – They want to keep the drama of sudden death. I mean, I don't know how much more drama we need. I love the drama in the NFL. I'm already maxed out on drama. I got plenty of drama. There's never been a Super Bowl that's gone to overtime, and there's been plenty of dramatic Super Bowls.
Well, in my scenario, you would still have sudden death. That second possession would guarantee sudden death right there. Either you score or you don't.
Oh, okay.
You know? I would rather have some sort of time limit to it. You know, like an extra quarter, and then you play it out, because I think that to me is more like the way the game is played.
Yeah.
You know,
clock
alternating possessions. Clock is part of it.
I
want to do as little as I can to change the game.
Yeah.
The college rule might be fine for college. I'm not hating on the college rule, but I just don't think it fits
the
for the NFL,
rule,
really.
To me, that's like arena football.
The college rule would not work in the pros. I think it's fine in college. I agree with Al. I think it does work in college.
I don't like the college rule for the NFL.
I don't think it would be a suitable end to a game.
Well, you know, in college, and you're worried about the wear and tear on the players, and that's a good point, because in college you get to control your own schedule. You can play a couple of pumpkins before you play your tough school. You can take a week off when you feel like it. I mean, you have more control over your overall big picture in college. And so if you get stuck playing one overtime game that goes six overtimes or something, then, you know, la-di-da. But, you know, in the NFL, you have that one bye week, and it's regulated, and your schedule's regulated, and you don't have that much control, in fact, zero control over who you play, when you play them, where you play them. To me, you know, it should be more of an outcome that's different than the colleges, where you know you don't want these guys playing forever. I understand that, and that's why I'm willing to go with less than 15 minutes. If it's 8 or 10, fine. I mean, who came up with a 24 second clock in basketball? You know, I mean, why is it not 28 or 19? I mean, how did 24?
There actually is a I don't know what it is.
It's half of 48.
There actually is a formula to that. I don't know what it is. But.
Well, you know, maybe we need to hire that guy to figure out what the number of minutes ought to be in the overtime. If it ends up being 12 and a half or 8 3/4, then, you know, that's fine with me. Whatever the number is almost immaterial. But I think there ought to be a number and just play to that number and then see what the score is at the end. But I'm not going to go on strike if they don't change it. But I think that they, you know, like you say, Paul, I think they should at least discuss it a little bit. And I guess they're afraid that it's just enough of a controversy that if they do discuss it, then they're going to get blowback, and they don't want to deal with the blowback. But
all right, well, Al, appreciate the call.
Good stuff.
As always, Al.
Have a great day, fellas.
You too.
Good luck with the microphones. Yeah. You sound great as it is, but if you want to get better microphones, you know, if you need me to chip in, I'll help you.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. We'll settle for lunch.
We'd rather have lunch.
Radio equipment. DL. What else are we going to get? Jerseys?
That's good stuff. Yeah. I just think, you know, the college thing, one thing that makes it, that allows it to work, I don't think it's an ideal situation even at the college level, but I think it allows it to work there because the kickers aren't automatic. You know, you start at the 25-yard line. That's a 42, 43-yard field goal. That's not an automatic kick at the Division I level.
No. Right. Yeah.
Not even close.
For Eric, it was.
So in the NFL, if a team
Eric's
doesn't gain
here.
A yard from the 25-yard line, they're coming away with 85% of the time.
Yeah.
That's how often those field goals get made.
Right.
So, and that's all field goals. It's probably even higher at that distance. I bet you most of the misses are from 50 and beyond.
All right. Got a lot of emails on tap here. Do we have any commercials
on tap? What does that mean?
What?
Does that mean that they're coming up and it's on the horizon? Or are they actually coming out of a beer tap? So is that where your emails come from?
He's airing dirty laundry is what he's doing.
He just got you, Fred.
All right, we'll talk about this in a minute. But we have to get to the commercials and we'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
The 2009 MLS season is here. Saturday, April 4th, the New England Revolution host First Kick 2009 at Gillette Stadium when they take on Western Conference foe FC Dallas at 7:30 p.m. Taylor Twellman, Shalry Joseph, and the rest of the Revs are set to kick off their home schedule, and you can be a part of it.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Tickets for First Kick 2009 start at just $20, with discounts available for groups of 20 or more. Plus, the first 5,000 fans in attendance will receive a limited edition Revolution First Kick 2009 scarf free. Don't wait. Get your tickets now by calling the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or find great deals by visiting revolutionsoccer.net. So warm up your vocal cords and get to Gillette Stadium for First Kick 2009. Pride.
Off the line, saved by Reese.
Passion.
Flick, the shot, and the goal.
Revolution.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know, Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Eric is back from, you were with Kevin Falk.
Yeah, it
not
was,
in a biblical sense.
No, not in a biblical sense. No, he was made available to the small group of media who were around today.
So you talked to him, and Tully Bannacane didn't show up.
No, we were told that their
story of his career
workout schedules got moved, and I don't know.
Tully Bannacane, as Will McDonough used to say.
There was no guarantee when he'd show up, so
you just bagged it.
We decided that we had better things to do.
His burger was getting cold.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the top of the list.
So we've been talking a lot about rule changes. What else have we been talking about?
Compensatory picks.
Patriots have three of them.
Opener
on Monday night against the Bills. T.O. against Randy Moss.
And Tom Brady's return to the gridiron.
Got a lot of emails that we need to get to. What else is going on? Eric, anything you want to add to put on the table?
I was mildly interested in getting TBC's take on coming back to the Patriots, but that will have to wait, I guess.
Okay, so
I did ask Kevin Falk one thing though that I thought was surprising.
He's now tired of Eric.
Right, he just lost interest in talking to you while talking to you.
Got to tell you though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
What did Kevin Falk have to say that was interesting?
Now he's going to sulk.
Did you ask him if this is the year that his skills are going to diminish?
I asked him going into
because I was clearly a year early last year.
I did ask him though. This was the final year of his current contract, and if there's any thought in the back of his mind of whether or not he's going to play anymore after this and whatever. And surprisingly, he said, yeah, in the back of his mind, he wonders about that, and he's not really sure. But bottom line, you're only focused on what's ahead of you immediately, and that's this season. But I thought that was kind of interesting.
Okay.
Other than that, typical Kevin Falk interview.
Fred.
Yeah.
You and the listeners, I'm sure, will be disappointed to know that throughout my two-week vacation.
We haven't even talked about that.
I didn't even have one.
Damn.
Incident.
No?
With, just some random person. Even in Disney.
You got into a fight with your brother, though.
No.
No?
Yes, you did.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Who knows?
My brother?
Yeah.
No.
You fight with your brother like hourly.
They're not fighting. They're just red taking swings at each other. That's what they do. They're Italian.
We never.
But
we never fight.
It was a tough.
Maybe this will be
one year.
Tough basketball and hockey loss.
They got what they deserved in basketball.
And hockey loss.
They choked.
You know who got what he deserved? You, for following that basketball team to that arena.
Yeah, I'll be probably doing it next year, too.
And then you flew back up to see the hockey game.
Well,
he missed the
Florida
hockey game.
What?
That he was missed the real Florida hockey game.
No, he was there. He said
no,
he was
the Hockey
there.
East playoffs, I was there.
No, but you missed the real one the week earlier, right?
It's a regular season game.
It was a big one, though.
I saw it on the highlights.
What highlights? YouTube?
The game was on Nesson.
Oh.
I actually watched it after I got back from the arena in Richmond that night.
In the hotel?
Nesson. Nesson.com had the highlights of the two goals.
I like it. We get mad because he gets mad because he gets some emails
I don't get
about
mad
work. But he takes time out to watch the NU Hockey Division 8 playoffs, whatever it is.
Well, he was on vacation. I was on vacation, Fred.
I understand.
I did get mad that I got three separate, from three different people, requests to do something for them.
they didn't know you were here.
What part of the email that they sent to me when they got the out-of-office reply didn't they understand?
Well, I don't know. Who are these people? That
we don't need to hear that kind of dirty laundry.
Okay. Meow.
Jana.
Oh.
Stacey. Matt right. Smith.
But, you know, sometimes if you know where something is, you could just email back, oh, that's over here.
Yeah, and I'd be happy to do it when I get back from vacation.
That's what
wow
I replied.
Wow.
That's not on my deck next to the grill, so I won't be getting back to you.
Anyway, I was
You don't get back to people when you're here.
I
had about when you're on vacation.
What are you talking
you know
about
when you're
now?
In Disney, Fred, and there's people everywhere.
You want me to blog something? I blogged it.
You know, like, you know, sometimes they're crowding you. I have the stroller because I got the two kids, you know.
Yeah.
And we're moving around, and there's people cutting in front of you. Sometimes they get annoying, but I didn't have one altercation.
That's
all I was thinking
I'm
of.
Surprised.
I got to have something happen here so I could talk
you
about
it. You must
have
been
show
in a good mood.
Yeah, I was just happy.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that my team choked miserably.
You didn't go on any of the rides, though.
I went on some, but nothing too big.
Splash Mountain?
Splash Mountain we went on.
Oh.
The dinosaur ride at Animal Kingdom was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, the one where they're chasing you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, you got to see. I'll show you the picture. You got to see Will upstairs. He's like got my shirt buried over his head.
Right.
He was scared out of his
mind. That's great.
Animal Kingdom?
Animal Kingdom.
What did you think of that?
Okay.
I've never seen it.
That's the first time I've ever been there.
Yeah.
The safari was amazing.
Yeah.
Saw every animal you can imagine.
Yeah.
Panda bear?
No.
Tucci likes pandas, I guess. I don't know. No, it's Africa.
I know. I just was being stupid. I didn't know I was going to get the laugh from him back there.
He's still laughing. That really tickled him.
So, unfortunately, no really good altercations with random middle-aged women.
Not even on the airport?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
It truly was a vacation.
Everything was
smooth
as can be.
Okay.
No
well,
one gave
good
us any problems at security. Evidently, we had everything packed correctly. I did have to take my big suitcase was 52 pounds, and they asked me to take 2 pounds out of the suitcase.
Boy.
Oh, that was nice.
That
could better than them just charging you whatever they charge you.
No, they asked me to take it out. And so, can you know, because I was checking three bags. So I just put some stuff in the big one and one of the little
when
ones.
When we went, they just tacked on whatever the $50 fee was. Boom.
Yeah.
It's over 50 pounds, $50 or whatever they added.
That's unbelievable. So do you feel refreshed?
Well, I'm sick. So
energized?
I was fine, and you know, I just got really sick at the end of the vacation.
Okay. All right. Let's get to some emails, shall we?
Please do.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. TG and NJ says a few comments regarding last Thursday's show. Fred, I can't believe you said Eric is in the media room doing Pierre Woods.
Is that where that started?
Well, I think it started with Copen, right?
You did Copen?
Yeah, he did Copen.
I'm really starting to think.
I wanted him to ask Copen how it feels to have a Johnson behind him now. You know, Al Johnson's
Al Johnson,
the backup center.
Backup center.
News to me.
That's right. You were on vacation.
His email. TG also says, I'm really starting to think Andy is the gay one. His constant obsession with his ass and the way he gets all excited by steroid-enhanced football players' physiques is a bit questionable.
Clearly.
So, Eric, you've got only 4 years left until you can play the lead role in the remake of the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin. Better get cracking. And the only cracking he'll be doing is... Oh, I can't say that now. Let's see.
Sorry, Eric.
Welcome back, Paulie. Nice to have another straight guy on the show. The Eric and Andy Love Fest was getting a little sicko. Seriously, though, the football question. Now that the compensatory picks are established, just what are the Patriots' picks in the draft, and do we all agree that they will be trading some of them? They got the 23rd overall the first round, the 34th in the second, 47th in the second, 58th in the second, 89th in the third, 97th in the third, 170th in the fourth, and then he loses track after that. So he's looking for but they have 11 overall.
Yeah,
so.
And I don't.
There's no way they make all 11.
And they're listed on Patriots.com.
Yes, they will not make all 11 in that spot. They may leave the draft with 11 players, but I guarantee they move somewhere.
Yeah, that's a pretty much a guarantee with Belichick.
With those three second-round picks, they just got to get somebody that pans out, especially with this class. So he's saying that odds are that they'll get somebody.
Good. Odds are good that with six picks in the first 97, one of those guys can play football.
All right.
I think it'd be a rare year that all of the top 100 guys can't play.
Let's see. Keith in Central Florida. Thanks for all the good draft coverage, he says. Hold the peppers. Sign Jason Taylor and keep the draft picks. Belichick even said on EEI that this is a deep draft. If this was a weak draft with plenty of cap space to spare for all the vets next year, then I would be all for it. Some experts are saying that this draft may have up to 40 players with first-round grades. With the Pats having all these early draft choices, I think this could be one of the best Patriots drafts ever. Unlike years past, always picking last or next to last, opportunity, need, and draft positioning is a major advantage for the Patriots. This year, we could come away with at least three or more productive starters in the draft. What do you think?
Sure.
He could also be saying it to try to pump up the value of all these extra picks that they have that they might want to use in trades.
Sure.
Sure.
Now, you're saying starters, though, not just contributors.
Oh, I don't know.
Where would they start?
Yeah, well, my only thing.
Oh, you mean like September starters?
Yeah, I don't think they have that many openings.
Oh, no. I was like starters. A guy within a year or two would be a starter.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
Like, I would consider James Sanders. You drafted him. He's a starter. Right. He didn't start first year.
It took a year and a half to break in.
You know. Easily, I think they could have.
But, I mean, they could end up with another inside linebacker. Let's look at slots where down the road there could be a starter. Inside linebacker next to Mayo.
Outside linebacker. Safety.
Safety or corner. Anywhere in the secondary, I wouldn't be surprised to see a starter.
Right tackle or left tackle.
Yep. Wide receiver, because Randy Moss is, you know, coming down the road. Tight end.
Yep.
Running back.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of slots that within a year and a half or two years, you could see a young guy starting.
We've talked a lot about wide receiver. Where do you guys think, you know, we all thought that Bill would probably take one relatively early.
Mm-hmm.
How much, if at all, do you think Greg Lewis and Galloway affect that?
Not all that much.
So where do you think they'll take one?
Second to third?
Second or third? Probably second.
Yeah, I don't know if I would take one that
high. If the talk of Percy Harvin slipping into the mid-30s is true, then I think he becomes more of a Patriot every day.
Yep.
Would he get a 6? 12?
Why is he slipping?
I don't know.
I don't like the idea of slipping wide receivers.
Quest from Florida. Questionable durability is one of the major concerns
with
him.
That's legit, though.
But
that is legit, yeah.
But it is what it is. I mean,
but it's not like – I mean, I think the Chad Jackson thing was a little different in that I don't think Bill had the relationship prior to the draft with Jackson that he does with Harvin.
Right. They're best buddies.
I mean, yeah, he knows.
It's like Gil Brandt and every other pick at the combine.
Right. So there's already some history there, and I think Bill knows what he would be getting with him.
Plus, he's versatile.
Yeah, he's very versatile.
I mean, there's a chance you could swing and miss on one aspect of his game but hit on another, and all of a sudden he's not Wes Welker, but he's Kevin Falk. Okay, well, I blew the Welker part, but he's
–
Speaking of Gil Brandt, I think Stafford lives literally across the street from him.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
That's funny.
Really?
But I agree with your depiction of Harvin. I think he does so many different things well, it would be hard to imagine that he busts out in all of them.
And the durability thing is like – It is what it is. He missed a lot of games. But are you saying he's a pansy?
I don't know.
No, but that's my point. Like, you can do all the medical tests you want, but durability doesn't really show up on a medical test. When he sprains an ankle, that wasn't on the MRI. That'll be on the MRI after he sprains it.
Right.
And now, maybe he has loose ligaments and all, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
You make a decision whether you think he's a good football player and whether he's had some bum luck or he's a pansy.
I think
if he's a pansy, don't take him.
I think he's an absolutely dynamic football player.
Right.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And on the other side of that, a guy like Maroney, who was never injured in college,
gets to the NFL and suddenly he becomes injury prone. So,
and I don't blame Bill for that.
No, no.
I'm
just saying you can't really – you can take that into consideration, but I don't think that should be a determining –
Was Ben Watson always hurt?
But
I mean, there's a lot of guys.
What I'm saying is you don't know what the injuries are is my point. And if it's like Andy said and he's spraining an ankle, well, that's not going to show up on an MRI. But if he – like Andy also said, if there's ligaments and stuff like that that are showing up,
right,
and he's had trouble staying on the field with those injuries, that might be a reason he's slipping.
Right.
We don't know that. I mean, they do.
But
he
was supposedly looked very good at his pro day. I saw some of the video before I canceled NFL Network, and he did look dynamic. I mean, I think he's a playmaker, bottom line. And if you have those
extra picks.
I'd
take him, no question.
And he's slipping. I didn't want him at 23, which is where, quote-unquote, all the mocks had him early on. But if he's now mid-30s kind of guy.
See, I would take him in the second round, but I think of him as more than just a wide receiver.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I'm not sure I would take a wide receiver that high, unless the value was just overwhelming and I couldn't pass
it
up.
It isn't going to be because it's a very deep wide receiver class. So my guess is at receiver, they say maybe they love Harvin more than all others, but they say X, Y, and Z. One of them will be available in the third, so we don't need to reach.
I feel with Welker and Moss, and now you have Galloway and Lewis, and I don't want to overrate Greg Lewis. I mean, he is what he is. He's a complimentary guy, but that's what you need him to be,
mm-hmm,
a fourth guy. I think that's enough that you don't have to necessarily use one of those top 50 picks, where they have two picks
right
in the top 50, right?
Right.
I don't think you necessarily have to use one of those guys on a wide receiver.
Well, three, if you count the first round. They have
23, 34, and 48. Yeah, so I wouldn't necessarily use one of those three picks on a wide receiver. I would maybe wait till early day two and maybe take a guy, you know, a little bit further down. One of the emailers that wrote in talked about Ramses Barden.
Yep. Really, did he?
As a third or fourth.
Now, was this
guy
the first or the fifth email he sent? Because he sent
a
billion of them.
Well,
holy
you know,
crap.
I haven't been here, so I don't know. I don't know with all the repeats of this.
He's a tall drink of water, Ramses.
Well, he wants
Barden
to take him in the second round, and to me, he's more, well, I mean, Cal Poly, he's more of a third or fourth round guy.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Having done any of the research.
Bernie from Denver, Colorado writes in, the website management team has done well by including John Cockrell's weekly contribution. There are very few elements of literature these days regarding which I do anything more than skim, and John's column fits into that category emphatically. His satire is playful, refreshing, well-conceived, and very well-written, and not mean.
John from L.A.
And not mean, which is quite rare these days. Feel free.
Not mean?
I thought he ripped everybody.
He's taking shots at everybody on the planet.
Feel free to pass this note along to him. We will.
We don't want to get defensive here, but I mean, he's taking shots at everybody.
Everybody, the commissioner.
You can like it or not like it, but.
But he's not really mean.
Okay. I haven't read anything.
He's playful.
Well,
he's playful.
It won't.
All right.
He's playful.
All right.
You know, he doesn't. He's not mean.
I just am afraid that we're going to get in trouble.
Nah.
You know, for
me
making
too
fun of the rest of the league.
That's all right.
That's all.
Until they adopt my arms in front of you tackling, then.
Then John Collins stays.
Hello. This is Alex. He says, hello, healthy people, and Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric. Here are Jay Cutler's stats after 2008. 37 games started, 17-20 record, 87.1 passer rating, no division titles, no playoff appearances. Why do Denver fans say he is a Hall of Fame caliber player? He did play in the Pro Bowl, but hey, so did Favre. I don't get the outrage that his possible trade has provoked.
Has someone really said he's a Hall of Fame caliber player?
Not that I know.
Well, I saw on the Globe they compared his first 3 years to Elway's first 3 years,
right,
and he actually compares pretty favorably,
right,
you know, to those 3 years. But so what, you know?
But he's there. I mean, he's a good quarterback. I think he's a good NFL quarterback.
I think he's good. I don't think
and they're
that
potentially losing him and not replacing him. If I were a Broncos fan, that would be my. If you traded Jay Cutler on the first day of free agency,
without
Matt Castle,
yes,
and your new coach, who you have to trust to some degree, says Matt Castle is a leader. He's our quarterback. Okay. But if you trade Jay Cutler and bump Chris Sims up the depth chart,
well,
I'm screaming like a banshee.
I don't know about the outrage in Denver, really. I don't
yeah,
know where I don't know where fans are falling. But if they are upset, it's not, oh, how can they trade Jay Cutler? I think if they had pulled that off flawlessly and Matt Castle was now the quarterback of the Broncos, I think fans would be like, okay.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it's how it was handled. It now it's a debacle. It's
and
just,
it seems
you know,
like you had
yeah
you had no plan. Like you didn't have
yeah
a backup ready to go. You were just kind of flying by the seat of your pants.
Or you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Yeah.
He's our guy. No, he's on the trading block. Make a decision.
And yeah, they already had questionable faith in McDaniels, right? Because you weren't having problems on offense. In theory, Shanahan's an offensive coach, a two-time Super Bowl champ.
Right.
If they, I think McDaniels as a defensive coach would have been better off going in there. There would have been. So I think fans had to be sold on McDaniels. And then the first thing that they see for McDaniels is him mismanaging this situation.
Right. Right.
So now their faith is even more in jeopardy
and
in terms
of
their
future. An exclusive interview the other night with NFL Network. He did not show confidence. He didn't look like the head coach of a national football team.
Well, he's never going to. He won't look like the head coach of a National Football League team when he's holding up a Lombardi trophy.
Even what he was saying, I wouldn't like that if I was a Denver Bronco fan.
He hasn't handled it well. One thing he needs to do is stop talking.
I don't think he's handled this well. However, I understand his reluctance to have Cutler as his quarterback. I don't think Cutler is a fit in what he's going to want to run. He's going to run the Patriots offense.
He wants a pocket guy, really, right?
But he wants a guy that's going to spread the ball around, make quick decisions, and throw accurately. Jay Cutler is a guy who gets the ball downfield with a strong arm and occasionally throws into traffic and makes mistakes.
He's Brett Favre.
Yes, it's not a good fit,
Josh
McDaniels would not want
Brett Favre.
And now, that said, that doesn't mean I don't think Jay Cutler is good.
Yeah.
I do think he's a good quarterback.
Right.
I think he's much more physically gifted than Matt Castle. But I don't necessarily think he's a better fit for that offense than Castle would be.
Right. Kevin in St. Mary's, Georgia. Andy, I know you said last week that you liked the commercials from Vince the ShamWow and Slap Chop Guy. Did you notice during the Slap Chop commercial that he's about to chop the peanuts, he starts by saying, "You're going to love my nuts"?
I haven't seen it with the audio on yet.
The first time I heard that, I thought I had to be hearing things, but sure enough, he said it again. If you go to YouTube, you can see for yourself. Hilarious. Anyway, guys, I can't wait until the draft weekend. I'll be on the road, but I'm picking up satellite radio next week so that I don't have to miss any coverage. Do you think there's any chance that no Sean Marino from Georgia slips to number 23? And if so, any chance that Bill would be interested?
I think there's a chance.
Really? That he slips?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I think there's definitely a chance that he slips to 23.
Tell me about this
But
guy.
I mean, that the Patriots would draft the running back in the first round?
He's the best running back, I think, in this draft.
I do, too. I think he's the only guy with Pro Bowl-type talents.
I like Sean Marino a lot.
I think he's a dynamic kid. I think he can do everything
he's,
you need a running
back
to do.
He's one of the reasons why I'm not overly sold on Matthew Stafford.
And I think Bill would consider it. If he thinks he's going to be great.
Stafford got away with stuff because he had Marino back there with him?
Yeah. I think he had a great running back and great talent around him and still didn't win that much.
508-543-7482 is the phone number, and Nate from Florida is on the phone. Nate, how you doing? Sorry to keep you waiting like that.
That's all right. How's it going, fellas?
Great.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah, I want to talk about a couple things. I think this could be a big draft for the Pats. I think there's a lot of good prospects out there. I just want to name a couple of players, see your opinion.
Okay.
What do you guys think about Clint Sintem out of Virginia?
He's intriguing. I think he's intriguing because of the system more than anything else. I'm not sure he's as physically gifted as some of the guys at the top of the position, but the fact that he's played 3-4 in the Al Groh's system, to me, gives him that step up that
the
he could come
outside
in and
linebacker.
Contribute right away. Could be a playmaker right away.
Some people are talking about him kicking inside in a 3-4.
Yeah, that would devalue him to
me. Yeah, I think so, too.
I think the priority for the Patriots, regardless of all the talk at Peppers and Taylor, is a young outside linebacker here, because even if you get, I mean, Adalys Thomas is no spring chicken. I think they need a young body on the edge out there. And if that's what he's going to play at the pro level, I'm not as interested.
Unless they get a Peppers or a Taylor, and they want to go for someone like a Maluga or someone else on the inside next to Mayo. But that has to happen before the draft for them to be able to make that decision.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about Percy Harvin, and I think he's a big-time playmaker, but, I mean, I think he's another Reggie Bush. I think he's going to be banged up a lot. Mm. I mean, if he's getting banged up in college, the NFL, these are big boys. I don't think he's going to be able to stay healthy.
But I would take a Reggie Bush in the middle of the second round.
Right.
Yeah.
Reggie Bush at the top of the draft.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to slip. I know people have him slipping the second round. I don't see that. I think he'll go in the top 20.
If he does, then I have no interest.
That's higher value. Yeah, I agree with you then, Nate. That's too high for me, too.
Who else? What do you guys think about the safety from Alabama, Rashad Johnson?
I don't know him.
I haven't watched his tape yet, so I don't. I mean, he'd be another.
I've seen his tape, and he's not bad. Nothing stands out to me that, you know, he's not like a hard-hitting playmaker. I mean, he's okay. He's a solid player.
But yeah. no one I would want to take first or second round.
Well,
no.
And in terms of a depth guy, he definitely has the Clint Sintem thing where he played a year under Nick Saban, so mm-hmm. he has some experience in a system similar to this one, kind of like we talked about Randall Gay in the past when he slid right in and played. So if you're looking for a depth safety to play right away, I don't think you'd be a terrible mid-round selection.
What do you guys think, Crable will get some time this year, or what?
Well, we hope, but no. I don't know. You don't think he'll get any time?
Like Crable.
What the hell did they draft him in the second round for?
Well, we haven't really seen him do anything.
Third round. Whatever.
We haven't
it's
seen
still
him.
High enough to... You can miss on picks. It happens. No, I know, but he'll get some time to prove himself, don't you think?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't like what I've seen.
But, I'm not saying that he's going to stick, but I think we'll see something out of him this year.
What happens
if they sign Jason Taylor... Yeah. And they draft Larry English. Well, now Sean Crable's fighting an uphill battle because he's probably fifth on the depth chart, so he's not probably going
to
do much.
Well, I think they're going to try to get him in a little bit in certain situations just to see what he can do.
See,
no?
I don't think they'll – if they have that type of a lineup, would they be squeezing him in just to get him reps?
If they did what Andy said, I don't think that he has much
I mean,
of a
it's a legitimate possibility that you have Adalys Thomas and Jason Taylor as your starters.
Right.
You have Pierre Woods and – insert rookie here who was taken in the first 34 picks as your two backups. Sean Crable, I'm sorry, it's not Little League. We're not working you in to get
unless,
you a couple reps.
Well, unless he comes out and plays above and beyond Pierre Woods or whoever else.
Well, that's the thing.
Else.
You've got to see if he can compete with Pierre Woods at the very least.
We really don't know what he can do.
You know,
he had a couple of plays in last year's preseason, but we don't really know what
he can
do.
How about we compare it? If you're talking about Pierre Woods, compete with Pierre Woods. Well, to me, the comparison there is Matt Castle and Matt Gutierrez. Matt Castle is Pierre Woods. He's in the system. They clearly like some of the stuff he does. He's been a backup. They're comfortable with what his role is. They don't feel the need to push anything in there. We all saw Gutierrez, and I was saying Castle.
I don't think quarterback is, you know, because there's only one at a time. I think we'll see something out of Crable this year.
I don't.
And
I'm with you, Fred.
Yeah.
Hey, I think Crable needs to hit the weight room. I think he's really skinny, you know.
Well, his legs are
top.
Yeah, his legs are.
He's not really all that skinny. He's a pretty big dude, but the legs don't fit the upper body.
It's just a weird. He looks weird on a football field. He does.
He doesn't. Yeah,
and that's not changing. I'm sorry. That's not changing.
Hey, Nate, I'm looking at my notes here. You're Rashad Johnson, Alabama safety.
Yeah.
I had written down that he kind of reminded me of Brandon Merriweather a little bit. Maybe
can tackle.
Maybe with better hands. That's the only noteworthy thing that I made. But
yeah, I just brought him up because I heard that like Belichick thought he was a good player and he was interested in him.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah,
I think all those pipeline guys.
All right, Nate from Florida.
Touch on one more thing.
Okay,
I'm calling it right now. Maroney is going to have a breakout year.
Me too.
I hope you're right.
For who is the question?
For the New England Patriots.
Yeah. You guys think there's a chance he'll get cut or what?
Yes. A chance?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance.
I think he could absolutely light it up with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
No, I'm hoping with you, Nate. I'm hoping he does it this year, too.
This is the last year.
It's the last year.
All right.
This is the last year I'm going.
This is the last 1,200-yard season I project for him.
A couple critiques on Andy's performance thus far. Couple critiques on Andy's performance so far. Josh says, remember what I said on Twitter the other day about Andy having a good show last week? Let's just cut that right off at last week and chalk this up to good old a-hole Andy, who was just arguing for the sake of arguing. My guess is he lost some dispute with his wife last night. Or this morning, and you guys are going to suffer the consequences. Good luck with that.
What happened?
What was
Andy's been very argumentative today.
Andy was going at it with Fred a little
bit. Part of what drew me to the game of football was the fact that it was a physical game, like contact.
TG and NJ. Yeah.
But Fred wasn't disagreeing with you.
What were we arguing about?
TG and NJ says Andy is to Mike Felger as Todd McShay is to Mel Kiper. Andy is turning into Felger Jr. He'll say anything just to be reactionary these days. He's not happy the Pats didn't get T.O., and now he's not happy because the Bills paid too much for T.O. Keep it up, Andy.
Well,
thanks for good radio.
And now, maybe you should listen to the show when they actually signed T.O. because I said everything I said today and more some on that show. So start listening.
Fred,
close
your
mouth,
have
put the keyboard down, and open your ears.
We need to have a smackdown between Andy and Felger the way McShay and Kiper go at it on ESPN.
I've had those.
In regards to the proposed rule changes, maybe the UFL will let the players play football.
Well, that would be good.
And Flash is better, Fred, fix the pause.
They won't. None of those leagues that promised to be more physical. Remember the XFL was going to be, this great.
Right.
And then they didn't.
But those guys just couldn't play, though.
No, I know, but they did. They started like when the press release came out, we're going to do this, this, and this. And then like the only thing they did was had that stupid thing to start the game where you run to get the ball in the middle of the field. Other than that, it was called football like the NFL way.
Well, they had slutty cheerleaders.
That was absolutely
yes,
moronic.
Yes, but that didn't have anything to do with the game, Fred.
It had a lot to do with viewing.
That was moronic, though, that opening kickoff thing.
Yes, it was stupid.
They put the ball in the
middle
of the
field. But when they started publicizing it, it was like, you know that, what is it, NFL Blitz? Is that LT game on
right.
computer where it's like smashing it?
Right.
That's what the XFL was going to be until it wasn't. It was just same old football.
Right. Scott,
which I'm, by the way, I'm not saying I want NFL Blitz, like try to hurt people, but you know, I have no problem with football the way it was played in the 80s.
You want worldwide wrestling. That's what you want.
No, I just said I like football the way it was played in the 80s.
Well, I do too, but
yeah.
The preference that, those of my football is long out the door.
Those days
no one throws
gone,
the ball
Andy.
20 yards downfield anymore either. I have to accept that.
I mean, I'm a purist. Eric, you know this. We were talking.
We were.
Give me the wishbone. Give me the well-run wishbone, and I'm happy.
We were talking about rule changes earlier and the Brady rule and overtime. And Scott writes in, why not just get rid of overtime? Let the game end in a tie. If you want to win, you need to win in regular time.
There's an exciting element to overtime. I mean, it might not be perfect, but I think
there's
a place for it.
Overtime, the way they do it, I think, is a better alternative than a tie after four quarters, don't you think?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Mark from Cheddar, hate guys in two gender.
I don't really feel passionately about it.
Oh. In rugby, a hit is illegal. To tackle a player, you need to attempt to wrap your arms around the player when you make a tackle, and all tackles have to be below the neck. I reckon this should happen in the NFL as it makes technique more important, improves fundamentals. Also, kids growing up will tackle like that and not like Ryan Clark. Now, I know that rugby is played without pads and helmets, and injuries still happen often with these rules. With the pads and helmets of American football, injuries would go down significantly. Speaking of him.
No, but they might start hitting more. That's what people say is as the equipment evolved to the harder helmet,
sure,
the bigger pads,
right,
the physicality evolved because
right,
the player felt more reckless.
I've heard some people say you want to get rid of the head injuries, take off the helmet.
Go back to leather helmets.
Go to leather helmets, so right, that way they'll
never
hit.
You wore in high school, Paul. What did you think about
it? Helmets.
Right.
Such a retard.
All of a sudden?
What are you, the president?
Felger called you a retard?
Yeah, on the
all
air.
The time, doesn't he?
When?
An annoying little retard.
Oh, not recently?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that's pretty un-PC. Even for our show, that's
it's
kind of
Felger.
Un-PC.
Yeah, and you just said it.
I know.
Would you like to issue a Barack Obama-like apology 10 seconds later?
Mm-hmm.
William Barry says, in the regular season, what the hell is wrong with ties? Don't give me that kissing your sister crap. Mathematically, do you think fans are as stupid as ESPN talking heads and think a tie is as bad as a loss? You want drama? Browns need a win to get into the playoffs. Patriots scored a TD late. They can kick for the tie or go for two. Does Bill screw Mangini? Stay tuned.
What's...
You have to stay with him here. William Berry writes very sophisticatedly, so you have to stay with
him. I guess I'm one of the morons that he's talking about. I don't enjoy ties. I like watching games and finding out if there's a winner
and
or a loser.
And I don't think players enjoy ties.
That's why I don't really like subjective sports.
Hello! Win the game, not tie it.
Better judged. I like to have a clear winner or loser.
Jamie is on the phone from Houston. Jamie, how you doing?
I'm good, guys.
Hey, Jamie!
One of my favorite words. Andy Hart, I got a little bone to pick with you. You called me an idiot with passion, and then a couple of shows later, you were on the roster as being for a TO move. Now, what's up with that?
Wait, no. I was always for the TO move to the Patriots, but I didn't think
but
it was.
But you called me an idiot with passion when I brought it up.
Because
and
you said, ask
it.
Any expert, it's a slam dunk, 19-0 Super Bowl win, baby, with TO. That was the idiotic part.
All right.
Oh, here we go again.
It is.
Third call in a row.
Brilliant, baby. Paulie, you have my back? Probably not, but I missed you. Welcome back.
I heard
you're
that
the
there
one.
Was a passionate fight, though, in my absence.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a little upset because I'm usually involved in all
best
the passionate
call fight. In history.
I
best
heard?
Call by
that's
far.
That's what I heard, Jamie. That's how it was built to me.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it's good. I enjoy being with you guys. Hey, just on a new note, what have we been talking about draft stuff? Who? What are the rumors of who we like? Who do we think Bill and the organization is targeting, who's going to be available? You know, I knew he was big on Maliuga, but we've made moves. Where's Peppers in the mix? So is that unlikely to happen? Who do we think out there in rumor land is who we're targeting?
Well, based on the rumors, Maliuga and Peppers go together. That's what Vic Carucci wrote on NFL.com, was that they trade for Peppers, and then the final step of the plan was to draft Maliuga 23rd and solidify that whole linebacking core across the board.
I still think Peppers trade will happen.
Has any other team?
Zero chance.
I mean, obviously, Peppers has said that he's interested in a few teams. He wants to play in a 3-4. But besides the Patriots
Dallas.
And the Cowboys, Have there any been any other teams mentioned by name that are either interested in Peppers or Peppers is interested
no,
in them?
No, just two other.
Philadelphia.
No, there were rumors of Washington and Philadelphia early.
Okay. Yeah. That they're interested in him or he's interested in them.
I don't know, but they don't make any sense because they don't run a 3-4.
Yeah. He said two NFC teams. That's the two teams that came out with Washington.
Those were rumors. I'm not saying
they didn't come out and say
legitimate rumors, but they make no sense on a lot of levels because one spent $100 million on a defensive tackle and neither play 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like Malayuga. It seems like has he not lost a lot of a little bit of stock? Didn't he kind of perform? He taper off a little bit in the court of public opinion a little bit, and looks like his draft status is hurt where he may slip to us. And,
according to the mocks,
I think
yes.
That would be good.
According to the mocks, yes, because originally he was going to be like a top 10 pick, a top 12 pick. Now it's according to the mocks, he's could be available at 23 for a Patriots like team or in the 20s there.
Part of that
might have been the getting hurt at the combine might have just been a black mark against him, pulling up in the running. He had a bad Wunderlich score, which was low, but he would be a player that I would say just put in the tape. And everybody wants to say that USC has all this talent and who's living off who. I don't think he was living off anybody but himself, and I think the guy can play football.
Yeah, and the other thing, there was, you guys have done some pieces on Teddy Bruschi, and, is there, kind of on a sentimental thing, do you think that maybe, that Malayuga, he's kind of Teddy Bruschi-esque to me in some ways, and, do you think that's just kind of a perfect puzzle passing baton, and maybe there's some sentiment behind that, Bill, that, this is a Teddy Bruschi-esque opportunity, and... make a move for him.
No, I don't think he would make a decision based on that. I think if he thought he had another player like Gerard Mayo who would be complimentary on the inside, and it just so happens that he's taking over in what could be Bruschi's last year, I think it's just a coincidence. I don't think he's going
to.
And
you might want to add a young player there because Bruschi's coming to the end. He can quote-unquote mentor him and oversee those guys, rotate through, blah, blah, blah. But
it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think Jason Taylor, there's been some talk there. I think that move makes more sense. I mean, you don't break the bank on Peppers. You bring Taylor in. That's another incredible locker room guy, mentoring guy for some of the younger guys you're developing. And you get a couple of good years out of him, and then you put him on the Junior Seau playoff-only plan, and you're good to go.
See, well said, Jamie.
I'm not convinced that...
Very astute
all right,
observation.
On, guys. Take care.
All right, Jamie from Houston.
I'm not convinced that if Peppers comes here, it's going to be for a long-term deal. This is just a hypothesis on my part.
All right, so now you're way off.
He's really short with Eric today, isn't he?
Yeah, really. What's the problem?
Because there's no way the Patriots could even afford to sign him if it wasn't a long-term deal.
Because of guys like Will Fork or Mankins?
No, because of the money that he wants. They can't cram that into 2 or 3 years.
Hear me out. What if they propose... If what we think is true and they're loading up to win another Super Bowl this year,
point at Fred when you say that.
All right. Well, if they convince him, okay, look, play here for a year under a one-term deal with an option for a year two or a year three. So we'll give you a big chunk of guaranteed right off the bat this year.
How much?
16.68 is the starting block because that's what he's got guaranteed there.
So let's start with that. Let's say they promise him the tender that he got this year.
Where are you getting that money under the cap?
I don't think they can do
that. They don't have that under the cap. They'd have to be doing all kinds of other stuff to get the money.
That's why I think they'd have to sign up to a long-term deal to lower the cap number initially in the first year.
They can't swallow the 16.68 or more.
Even before they've done redone any other contracts?
They don't have cap room right now.
All right, let's get to the emails. poor Eric.
I think that Taylor, I think Peppers is a better player. I don't think there's any question about that, especially at this stage in their careers. But Taylor makes a lot of sense because you don't have to give anything up. You don't have to break the bank.
Yeah.
And he has some experience.
Andy convinced me of that. I'm with him. I'm with the Taylor signing.
All right.
Bill came out and mentioned Peppers 17 times on the radio, and anytime he's forthcoming with information, I'm not on board.
See, I think the Peppers thing, and I've been on board with that from day one, and I think that he's a tremendous player, and I absolutely think he would fit in this system. I think Bill would work him in and find a way, but I think there's too many moving parts. It's too hard.
Yeah. Earlier we were talking about where the 24-second rule and basketball started.
Strippers chimes in.
Someone gave us the Wikipedia.
Danny Biasone, who pushed for the rule, figured a well-paced game In a well-paced game, each team would take 60 shots apiece. Games were 48 minutes long. He divided 2,880, the number of seconds in a 48-minute game, by 120, the number of shots taken by two teams, and arrived at the optimal figure of one shot every 24 seconds.
I told you it was a formula.
So there you go. You learned something? See, we can be educational on this show, too.
As long as Strippers emails in the information.
Let's see.
Right. Because we can't talk about back hair.
Robin in Alaska, we were talking about the Bernie Pollard hit earlier. If you watch the video, says Robin, while Morris is there, Pollard raises to his knees and then lunges at Brady's knee. Yes. It was intentional to hit. It was not intentional to hurt.
Yes, I agree.
Bernie Pollard may not be a villain, but he intended to hit Brady.
Yes.
This hit was iffy in regards to the rule protecting quarterbacks' knees because of Morris's proximity. There is a legit question as to whether or not Morris's weight was applied during the final lunge. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think even with the new, whatever they're calling it, I think it's questionable whether they would have called a penalty.
Yeah, if there's a new rule.
The other one, the Palmer one, would have been a penalty.
If there's a new rule.
Because no one touched him when he lunged. Yeah. I don't know.
I agree with Andy. If there's a new rule, then it's in question. Under the old rule, under what we have now, I don't think there's any question.
This is like a new point of emphasis. I don't even know that they've really.
Robin continues, with all that said, final lunges like that should be illegal. Calm down. I know that probably riled you up. You're out of the play. The only possible way to hit the quarterback in that position is in his knees.
Yeah, I just don't understand what's so wrong with that.
How a new rule emphasis change should be made here is that there should be two penalties on this play. One should be against Morris for holding Pollard down, because that's a tackle, not a block. The other penalty would be against Pollard for going for a tackle where he can't possibly hit the quarterback anywhere but in his knees, which are completely defensive.
Football is field hockey where you blow a whistle every 5 seconds.
Yeah, and half the time no one knows why the whistle.
Exactly.
So let me get this straight.
The refs.
A guy is in the pocket, hasn't thrown the ball yet, and a defensive player is sort of, you know, gets pushed to the ground or whatever. And he's close enough that he can reach out with his arms and grab the guy by the legs.
Can't do it.
You can't do that?
Can't do it.
No, you can reach. You can reach.
But the whole point of making a tackle is to wrap up with two arms.
Right. You can reach.
Not anymore.
Right.
I think you can. I think they may.
What if you have a really strong forearm and you blow out his ACL?
I think I remember seeing specific language that you can reach to grab.
Well, then maybe you saw something different from what I saw.
The bottom line is just put the quarterback there and say, do not hit.
What do you see more often during the course of a game? Or during the course of an NFL season, a blitzing linebacker coming up the middle, chopped a lot of times in the air at the knees by a running back or a quarterback getting hit below the waist.
Right, right.
That's my point.
Yeah, the linebacker
Ray
getting
Lewis's
chopped.
Ray Lewis's knee should be as valuable as Vince Wilfork's should be as valuable. I mean,
the difference there is the guy coming up the middle sees the guy in front of him. You know, he goes down, but he has a way to defend himself.
But not always.
I don't think you have a way to defend.
But it's not like
you're full bore. It's flying in the air.
It's not like quarterbacks are going down every game.
That's my point exactly.
Look, I can see both sides here. I understand the need to keep these quarterbacks relatively safe in a violent game.
But they are relatively safe, I think. It was an aberration that Brady went down
last year. The only thing they could
year.
Possibly do is just say that no longer are you allowed to tackle the quarterback.
Yeah, well,
it's training camp rules. Put a red shirt
and
on.
The league didn't come to an end last year. If anything, you gained a franchise quarterback because Matt Castle became a star.
Right.
Ari writes in about overtime. In overtime, if the receiving team scores a touchdown, game over. They win. If the receiving team kicks only a field goal, however, the other team gets the ball down 3 points, but has to score a touchdown to win. Anything less than they lose. Very simple. Both teams getting a chance
to
win the game.
What if they kick a field goal?
What's that?
What if the second team kicks a field goal?
You got to go for the touchdown. You got to go for the touchdown.
I don't like those because I think those change the game.
Yeah, now it's like it's
become kind of video game.
Yeah. There's too many. It's like schoolyard rules.
Yeah,
that's why I like Al's idea of having a time.
Set time. Play it out.
Play it out like you do in the first four quarters.
Dave, in the Philippines, if you're hungry, please go ahead and use that Mexican buffet lunch I won from you last season. I don't think I'll be making it back to the U.S. in the near future,
and I'd hate
to see it go to waste.
That's too bad.
I hope there wasn't a statute of limitations on that thing.
There is. It's a year.
It is a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know somebody who might be going to the Philippines to work.
Was that Iggy that just emailed?
That's
David.
Dave from the Philippines.
Yeah,
but I have somebody. That
Iggy, I have to thank again for providing lunch today.
Yeah,
Pizzeria Grande.
Cabeza very good.
Yeah, very nice.
What did you guys have? I know what Andy had.
I just had some slices of pizza. I didn't want to go crazy today.
Which
pepperoni?
Oh yeah, good one.
You had yourself a burger?
Yeah, it was good.
Good.
Bacon cheddar? Did the trick.
Kevin writes in, I think the Brady rule doesn't change anything. The QB will still take the season-ending hit. The only difference is that there will be a flag that follows. The results are still the same. If anything, they should standardize the way they call the QB is in the grasp of the defender rule. If it was called uniformly, we might have won Super Bowl 42, and maybe they wouldn't have taken away Castle's rushing TD last year against the Dolphins. I don't mind it being called, but it should be called the same across the board. What do you think?
Well, I'm all for rules being called the same.
Yeah,
I would agree that those two plays were pretty similar. One was called one way and one was called the other. I mean, that's about all I can say. I mean, definitely, I think Manning, they had, you know, Seymour and I think Jarvis Green had Manning under wraps in the Super Bowl for sure. And I was surprised that Castle's play was whistled dead last year against Miami.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's a judgment call. I don't know what you can do.
Dr. B from Seattle writes, and hello, gents. Do you think there is something bizarre about Gridiron Grilla's commercial slogan, Patriots Brats, perfect for your tailgate? Sorry that I missed you. What's wrong with that slogan? Patriots Brats, perfect for your tailgate.
I think it's a Andy Hart-like homosexual
reading
reference.
Into it a little too much. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so. Sorry that I missed you guys when you visited Seattle. PFW in Progress always makes my marathon training run smoothly. Your podcasts are the best. Thanks for making them available. Well, thank you. So Dr. B is training for the marathon. That would be a tough marathon if they go up those hills in Seattle.
It's all uphill.
If they run those hills. Oh,
wow.
I had trouble walking.
I mean, they talk about Heartbreak Hill here. That's heart attack hill.
Right.
Yeah, but they should go to Fitchburg.
That's true. Fitchburg is more hilly than Seattle.
Ask Chris Ferreira. Fitchburg is the second or third hilliest place in the country.
And amazingly, Chris can only go uphill to leave and to get home. It's not always uphill.
Now, did Chris run the marathon in Fitchburg?
No.
No, he was
Chris
just...
Chris couldn't run from here to your office.
No, especially now.
He's a skinny, fat guy.
Now that you moved him a little bit.
Or a fat, skinny guy, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, we moved. We did some office moves last week.
Yeah.
So we get the web guys together.
Yeah, there's one geek room now.
Fred, it took me 3 hours to clean that cube. Three hours.
It was a mess.
Well, it was, first of all, Ferreira moved in to where Dave Dudek used to sit.
Right.
It was filthy when Dudek was there,
right,
from what I hear.
Right.
And Ferreira did no cleaning when he moved into that thing.
Right.
And he just made it worse.
Hello, this is Kermit the Frog. Right.
It was disgusting.
And you had the Lemon Pledge out.
I had everything. The vacuum cleaner.
He had his French maid's outfit on. It was
See now.
No. That was a little uncomfortable.
Really
Were you hanging around with him when he had it on? That's what I wanted. You couldn't get away from him.
Touché.
Let's see. Craig Bunce writes in.
Craig's back, baby.
I've been meaning to ask you guys,
Andy,
about this.
Did you see how he came back, though? It's right here.
No.
Just like one line. Oh, yeah. Hey, fellas, long time no speak. I've been swamped. That's it. That's what tells us why he's been gone for a year and a half.
We were legitimately wondering whether or not he was still
maybe
alive.
Maybe he means he meant missing in a swamp.
Maybe.
How long was he gone?
Since the Super Bowl. 2 years? Since Super Bowl 42.
This picture, I think, was the last we had heard from him.
I think it was more than that, wasn't it?
No, it was Super Bowl 42 was the last time we heard from him.
So, like, 14 or 15 months.
At least. And he was just, quote-unquote, swamped.
Well, I was swamped.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm glad to find that I was glad to learn that he is still with us, Fred.
And gainfully employed, it looks like.
Yeah, doing a fine job as a he's got some fancy pants title. Environmental Health and Safety Delivery Technician.
Wow. Okay.
Is that a sanitation
engineer? Is that a euphemism?
Sound like he's a janitor?
Is that a sanitation engineer?
Yeah.
Craig says, what the hell? The Pats signed a free agent offensive lineman who has never played one snap on the offensive line in his NFL career.
That's correct.
Hey, Paul, what's up, homie?
Hey,
good to have the whole group back. Overtime, he chimes in. Of the 15 overtime games in 2008, only 7 teams won the game on the first drive.
That's all?
Nine who won the toss eventually won after multiple possessions. Leave it like it is for now.
And isn't this a self-created problem? Because the NFL has swayed the game towards the offense, and then they're upset that the offense wins when they get the ball in overtime. You make all the rules to you can't touch the quarterback,
but
defensive
if
backs
to the
can't
NFL
touch the receivers.
And they're not upset about it. No one's complaining.
But they made the stupid rules that made it an offensive game, and stats are up, 4,000-yard passers are up, and this is up, and now you're worried that, no, not fair that everybody didn't get a ball
in
overtime.
I have no problems if they don't make any changes to the rule.
They shouldn't.
But don't give me the stats like only 7 out of 5. I mean, half is a lot.
How about in overtime,
you
can't tackle anybody in the knees?
If by winning the toss, you have that much of an advantage? That's significant.
Craig goes on, more importantly, stop looking at reducing preseason games and adding games to the regular season. While I agree that we need to reduce the number of preseason games, I would rather that they restructure the wild card playoff scenarios to include two more teams per conference. That way, at least the games will be meaningful, and hell no, no playoff games should be held outside of the good old USA. Adalys Thomas has not had much of an opportunity to shine at offensive linebacker. I mean, outside linebacker. He played inside in nickel packages and missed a number of games due to injuries. The general feeling has been that he has been somewhat of a disappointment. He did have 5 sacks in 9 games last year. He is due about $6.4 million this year and over $9.4 next year. Any chance Belichick is disappointed enough in him to trade or release him and make Eric's dream come true by bringing in both Peppers and Taylor? Drafting an outside linebacker like Cushing, English, or Barwin Paramount. I still think defensive back with the 23rd pick, maybe Darius Butler. And then he goes on, Ramsey's Barden will go at the end of the second round. Yes, Paul, and all we go into the whole thing. Okay, and see you guys. Awesome show. No offense, but I still miss Gary. We all do.
We all do.
We all do. Especially with... that might not pay attention.
Nothing personal to 2G, but
well,
you know,
for me, it was kind of personal.
I liked Gary. I don't like him.
Right.
2G. Is that personal?
But Andy and I were looking at the Adalys Thomas situation, Fred.
Yeah.
Not feasible.
No.
Can't trade him, right?
Which
now.
We knew at the time when the way the same with Seymour. The way the contracts were structured,
right.
They were virtually guaranteed deals.
He's got over $13 million in bonus money still due to him. So that's a big-time cap hit.
Plus, as much as he's been a disappointment, I mean.
He's still pretty good.
Oh, I don't think I mean, he's not what we thought he was going to be in terms of the dynamic playmaker, but he hasn't been bad. He's been a very good starter.
I'm certainly not paying more for him to be off the roster.
Plus, isn't the whole point of getting a guy like Peppers or Taylor to have.
Or that, both, as you say.
Well, no, but I mean, if you're going to get one or the other, you have one guy who's really strictly just going to go after the quarterback, and the other guy like Thomas, who theoretically can play inside, can drop back into coverage.
Certainly.
I like that,
but Bill doesn't necessarily look at it that way because he doesn't like to have guys that just do that rushing the passer thing. But I do like your theory.
Shouldn't get Peppers then.
Chuck writes in, our last game with Buffalo, their coach, Dick Geron, was taken to the shed by Bill. Their entire preseason will be geared toward revenge. This may turn out to be the best game of the year. Remember during a punt situation, Buffalo was forced to waste a timeout.
I think Dick Geron took himself to the shed in that game. I mean, you run the ball on third down, you know, with 25 seconds left in the half and no timeouts. That had nothing to do with the other team's coach. That was just bad. He just coached a miserable game that day. I would have fired him just on that game alone. But then again, that's why they don't allow me to run teams, because I make stupid decisions like that.
You're no dumber than the guy running the show there.
I didn't understand.
It's very complicated.
No offense, Mr. Wilson.
Luke from England writes in, hey, guys, and Paul, huge fan of the show.
This change now where it's a different person. You have to listen.
You're on the edge of your seat.
It was getting a little repetitive with thanks, guys, and
thank
Eric.
You.
Huge fan of the show.
The truest one, but.
Even if at times I do start to wonder exactly why I am so eager to tune in the next time for your opinions. My feelings on the show could probably be summed up by Fred's intro to The Last Offering. Quote, it just gets more exciting by the day. Why is that, Fred? Well, you know, just the excitement. Comic genius, even if it is somewhat unintentional.
Somewhat?
One off-season storyline which I'm interested in is that of Rodney Harrison. Is he at the stadium working on his recovery? Do you guys think he'll be back? Also,
no.
And I suppose more importantly, do you think Bill wants him back?
I'm beginning to think he's not coming back.
He's certainly not at the stadium because
I think he's just going to do a sayout, just make himself available later in the season.
Well, I don't think he's healthy. I don't think he's ready to.
Well, not right now.
I think if he wanted to come back,
he's a free agent
and was ready to come back, I think Bill would take him back.
Yeah,
but I kind of agree with Andy and Eric. I don't think he will be back.
Although, according to ESPN's free agent tracker, he's
true.
A Patriot for 2009.
Luke says, don't get me wrong. I love him as a player with all he's done, and for selfish reasons, I'd like to see him back in a reduced role next year in terms of seeing him in the flesh at Wembley. Luke is from England, by the way. However, if the Vrabel situation shows anything, it is that leadership and experience may have to be sacrificed for speed and scheme versatility in this youth movement we find ourselves in. It is a business after all, especially with him coming off yet another injury. I also thought Bill's comments on the evolution of the safety position in the NFL a while back in terms of them being more coverage-based were interesting. Any thoughts on that, or if all bases are covered with Merriweather, Sanders, and Springs in the hybrid role if he does retire, should we be looking to bring in the likes of Delmas in the draft?
Well, he didn't even touch on the person who Fred believes is the key to the
defense.
Oh, yeah,
Tank Williams.
See, people forgot about him.
They should. And he won't be on the
there's
team.
There's reason.
No, he's going to be a big contributor.
All right.
Dan writes in, I can no longer listen to the audio or watch the video content on Patriots.com. I keep getting the install Adobe Flash message, even though I have completed the installation several times. Any suggestions? Can you watch Flash on any other site? Is my question.
He didn't ask for a question. He asked for a suggestion.
Well, my suggestion is to see if you can watch Flash at all.
I suggest you stop if
you can. Now, here's a little inside tip. I do know that our developers we're using the latest version of Flash. So even if you have Flash, if it's an old version, you may not be able to see some of the.
So is this like iTunes,
like the top
where
10
you have
list?
To,
another one of those things that
you
we
have
didn't
to update
have the
iTunes every week?
Yeah, sort of. You know.
Yeah.
Shady.
Was this a big? Was this a big topic when I was gone too?
What
this Flash thing?
Oh, the day last Thursday. Yeah, the day it started, we were getting he read half the emails about Flash and how great it was.
Is this another thing that had to be done outside this building?
No,
Fred? Out of curiosity?
No, last Thursday
we
transferred to Flash, and so I was reading the reactions from people.
At the expense of all the other football-related emails.
We got through it.
Cast of thousands in the IT / computer web angle, but everything
it just
needs
so happens,
to be outsourced.
A lot of the people who listen to this show are tech-savvy. From the very
would think so. I mean, how many people are stumbling upon an internet
and tech
radio?
Savvy people can't hear
so,
it figure it out.
So Eric,
what does that tell you?
Eric of the Hills, they're interested in that stuff. I call him that because he couldn't make it in because it snowed, and his reason was it's very hilly in North Providence.
Not as hilly as it is in Fitchburg.
Not nearly as hilly. No, not at all.
No, he couldn't. He was really late that day. Couldn't find a route that wasn't uphill.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Apparently, he was coming from the center of the earth.
Yeah. You remember, he was the one who drove on somebody's lawn during a snowstorm.
Yeah.
Trying to
that was an ice storm. He kind of lost control. He ended up on somebody's front lawn.
That was a classic.
He was trying to update the site in his car.
Was after the crash?
During.
Oh.
Whoa! Got a press release!
Oh, shoot! Fred needs me to get this live. excuse me, ma'am. Can I trouble you for a cup of coffee?
And then he sucker punched her.
With his brass knuckles
on. I thought that was Paul.
Yeah, is that true that Chris Ferreira carries around brass knuckles?
Yes. I don't hit anybody.
Yes. What is he, a collection agent?
I talked about how I didn't get any altercations.
I know. I showed up
for that.
Here
for
that?
That
reminds me. The new Kia promotion, you know, if you lose your job, you know, we'll take your car back.
Hyundai.
No question asked. Yeah. Hyundai. It's called repossession is what it's called.
No, but
right?
It doesn't hurt your credit.
Well,
they don't repossess it. They
allow
you to return.
It's a little
different.
It's
a
joke.
And they also give you time.
A bad one. Plus, apparently to you, all those Korean car companies are the same. You racist.
They call them Kia.
Oh, my God, that is funny. Hyundais are very well respected now.
No, they've grown. Yeah.
Kia is not.
No?
No.
Okay.
You still get a Kia for like 10 grand?
Yes.
Oh.
And in 2 years, you'll be needing another Kia for 10 grand.
Hey. Why are you talking like Ronnie Dangerfield?
That's
how Fred Kirsch talks.
Right, but see, it catches on. See, you guys make fun of me, and then you copy me.
Mocking.
Yes, that's
the lowest form of flattery.
You're right. That's what we're doing.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
Mike from Portland, the Patriots have a well-known recent history of drafting highly touted receivers that turn out to be mediocre. Do you think that trend will continue if we snatch a guy like Percy Harvin
first
with
of
one
all,
of the first two picks?
Name one that's been mediocre.
One that's mediocre? They've either been really good or not good
at
all.
That's my point. Right. The two busts were busts. Chad Jackson and Bethel Johnson were not in any way mediocre.
Right. They hit on David Givens. They hit on Deion Branch.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
You know. Both who they hit on were good, but the other two were sucky.
Flash is working great, by the way. This is the first time I've been able to listen to the live show. That's great. Mike from Portland.
Eric's going to do
Tully
Banza Kane.
All right. Just got the thumbs up.
I thought he was going to do B-Lo.
Thumbs up.
What?
Why are you using your thumb? Oh!
You're really cracking yourself up today.
I was going to say, how's this different from any other?
John says he's not getting any sound from Flash.
That's a problem when you're listening to a radio show.
Yeah.
So we're not getting any sound. Are you aware of this?
We are not.
Yeah, Ferreira called and said we might be having some problems.
Oh, God.
We had some of our best stuff in the last half hour.
All right.
Now that Eric's gone, the show's going to go in the toilet.
The ineptitude.
TG and NJ about the overtime. The core of the problem with overtime is the coin toss. Everybody is up in arms because the team that wins the toss usually wins the game. So the game is left up to a coin toss. All the blood, sweat, and tears for the last hour is wiped out by a coin flip. Figure out how to get rid of the coin toss, and you'll solve the overtime problem. I like the idea of just continuing the game till somebody wins. No coin toss, no fifth quarter, just keep playing.
You put both teams' name in a hat, and you pick one out. That team gets the ball.
It's the same thing as a coin toss.
He said just how to eliminate the coin toss.
So TG would like to see, say, like the Patriots game against the Jets. They scored at the last play of the game with no time left. It would just be Jets ball anyway.
Justin Keller would still get a 3rd and 13.
But I'm trying to figure out his scenario here, his proposal. That's what he'd be saying. Whereas if a team scored with, say, a minute left, and then the other team got the ball and maybe got a first down at midfield, but not close enough for a field goal, they could continue to play into the fifth quarter and still have that possession.
No.
Well, that's interesting. But, again, I think you're changing the game a little bit.
Yeah. Todd, Nova Scotia, welcome back, Paul, you fat bastard. First you didn't go to the combine, then you took 2 weeks off. You're killing the old Andy. All this time he has spent with Eric has changed him. This bromance must stop.
It really is embarrassing, I admit.
Sure, he's still making really fun of him on the show, but you can hear that his heart just isn't in it.
It's not. It's unbelievable.
Eric, will you please do something pompous? I miss the old Andy. Fred, you're great. Never change. I hate they are calling this the Brady rule. There are enough rules already. They are trying to make the league two-hand touch.
Yes.
So.
I also don't like the ambiguity. Seriously, if you're going to go in this direction, just make the quarterback. You can't hit him. Just let him stand back there.
Well, that's what I said. Put the red shirt on him like training camp and just call him off limits.
Rashad Baker can't play. No. Who's the other guy? Was Rashad Baker? He used to always hit everybody?
Yeah. Well, it used to be Moss all the time, though.
Let's see. Mark from Cheddar.
I do like the so-called Ed Hockley rule, however.
You do?
If they do put that proposal in as they've talked about.
Yeah.
And I don't know enough. I haven't been paying attention enough to know if it's in. Is it? I mean,
I don't know.
Is that accepted? I don't know.
I don't think they've had those votes yet.
Okay. But just on a play like that one that happened in San Diego, in Denver against San Diego, you couldn't overrule that because the whistle blew. But now they're saying regardless of when the whistle blew, you can use actual common sense and see if a recovery happened when you look at the replay, as happened in that game with San Diego recovering the ball. I think that's a good rule. I mean,
there was no foul on the play.
It definitely opens the door for some, as Andy said, the ambiguity, of the rule where, the whistle is blown, who stopped, who didn't stop, and open. But I think that in a situation that's clear cut, like that one in Denver was last year, I think you could correct it. I think that's a good thing.
But aren't there going to be some
questionable? Yeah,
there's a defensive end and an offensive tackle. They both see the ball. But the tackle doesn't try for it because he figures once they look on video, if I don't go for it, they won't. You know what I mean?
That could happen. Yeah,
almost like flopping. In an NBA type flopping or a soccer flopping, there'll be some.
Yep. No, there's no perfect solution. Yep. I mean, I think they're trying to encourage the ref not to blow the whistle in those situations and rely on the replay.
Right.
To help him out, but short of that, I think that you need to correct mistakes like the one that happened last year.
Right.
If you can,
like Willie McGinnis would cheat.
Oh, the Patriots would do that.
Right.
The Patriots would be taught to
not
go
really
after
cheating.
The ball.
Right, right.
Everything but Patriots.com.
No, it's an example of Belichick.
Bill being smarter.
Yes.
Taking advantage of the vagaries
of
the rule.
You're not even paying attention. It's something that Belichick, who leaves no stone unturned.
This is in no way a shot. This is praise
absolutely.
For utilizing
much
the system that's in place.
Much like, in my opinion, one of the first teams that I ever saw rush to the line after a 40-yard completion downfield near the sideline and get a next playoff quickly before the replay could be used was the Patriots.
Because they're smarter.
Because they're smart.
And this
absolutely.
Is not a mocking
that's
they're smarter.
Mocking
this is
smarter.
They are really smarter.
Okay. Guys,
in my opinion,
it's a little quiet over here.
By they is Bill. Because everybody else left.
Bill was one of the first. I mean, maybe he wasn't the first, but that's the first one I remember consistently seeing teaching the team to do that. Anytime there's a chance that it's close to the sideline, they might get a look at it. Let's get to the line. Let's snap the ball, and let's get a playoff so we don't lose that yardage.
It's kind of like that thing with, remember, Kenyatta Jones? If you're backed up against the goal line, what's the worst thing that happens if you jump off sides? You lose a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
So don't let the guy beat you. Whatever you do, if you want a false start, that's fine. But if he beats you off the ball, you're dead.
Right.
Okay, but it is a free. Oh, you mean on offense?
If you're backed up against the goal line, the worst thing that could happen is you're laid off the ball and some defensive end runs through Brady.
It's like when you're, you know, it's like third and 11 on your own 2 yard line. You should drive me crazy. The play clock is winding down. The quarterback calls timeout to avoid a delay of game. Why? That's stupid. It's a waste of a timeout. What's the difference between third and 11 and third and 12?
Bill finds all those ways out and uses them to his advantage.
Russell in New Zealand. Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time writer. Assuming we can't get Peppers and can get Taylor for a second-round pick, what do you think we should do with the top two picks we have remaining? If outside linebacker is covered with Taylor and Thomas, then I think we could pick a defensive back, most likely Vontae Davis or Alphonso Smith. I think Smith is a more natural corner but lacks size, whereas Davis is an athletic freak and has good height to match up against some of the taller receivers we're seeing around the league currently. With the 47th pick, I think it would be a good spot for an inside linebacker to pair with Mayo, assuming Laronitis and Maliuga are gone. I like Jasper Brinkley out of South Carolina. He has the experience in size as well as good athleticism. He could play as the run-stuffing, block-shedding, bull-rush-type inside linebacker with Mayo moving laterally and dropping into coverage.
Everything but the location of the selection.
Sixth round.
I mean, he's a guy that on some people believe could be an undrafted free agent.
I like
PFW has targeted him as the ideal late round pick to put next to Mayo if you don't
I like Jasper Brinkley.
Paul likes the Jasper Brinkley that played before he got hurt.
Absolutely.
Not sure what he's been since the major knee injury.
I loved him before he got hurt. he was great.
What was the other question there?
I don't know, drafting a defensive
Vontae Davis or Alphonso Smith. I like I like both of those guys.
I like the upside of Davis. Alphonso Smith has been compared to Samuel, makes a boatload of plays, and I haven't watched all his games over the years, but my question is, why is everybody still throwing at him 4 years into his career when he's got like 17 picks and 81 pass defenses?
Stop shaking your head back and forth because every other word goes off mic.
Oh, sorry. But why aren't they afraid of him?
I'm not well.
He got his hand on so
ATC.
Many balls. Well, why weren't they afraid of him? If he's a top-level corner, shouldn't they stop throwing in his direction? Stop giving him the opportunity to make all those
plays.
Do you
have an answer to that?
Maybe they let him freelance. Maybe.
I'm talking about the quarterback.
Oh, the quarterback.
If he's in theoretically a great playmaker, he makes plays on the balls, shouldn't quarterbacks playing Wake Forest say, you know what, I'm not going to throw in his direction?
Well, how does Asante Samuel continue to make plays?
That's the NFL. I think of the college football game, if there's a first-round talent cornerback,
I understand what you're saying.
Teams that play them. Now, I'm not expecting
Matthew
Stafford to
avoid. Maybe he just has great makeup speed, and you know he fools quarterbacks into thinking guys are open.
But
you see that in the NFL, right?
Ashima,
everybody says that's why he's
I'm saying Matthew Stafford, do it all you want. But to get to all those plays, there had to be some mid-level talents that weren't afraid to throw at Alphonso Smith. Why are they throwing at him?
I don't know.
Why are guys who are going to be delivering packages for FedEx from the quarterback position not afraid of him?
Were they throwing at Vontae Davis too?
I don't know.
Oh, you haven't looked at that one yet?
No, I'm just saying.
We'll end with Paul from London.
I think the Patriots have an eye on Alphonso Smith.
Well, he's got the swagger.
I think they like him
for that cornerback position that I think you have to have as long as you can play.
Right.
You can't have swagger
Ellis
like
Hobbs.
Chris, you can't be like Chris Canty and not be able to play.
Do you think Ellis Hobbs will be a starter next year? That was one of our debate Fridays.
You know what? Right now, I don't think so, but I need to see Springs and Bodden on the field first. It would be the Andy Hart eyeball test.
Paul will let us know September 14th whether Ellis Hobbs will be a starter.
No. Give me minicamp, okay? I just want to do the Andy Hart eyeball test. You know what I'm talking about. When you make your judgments on guys, just you could see if they can still move. Sean Springs has been around for a while.
He's older than you.
I don't know how fast he is still. You know, I want
safety.
He
might not even be a corner.
Oh, he's going to play safety?
The Eagles wanted to sign him strictly as a safety, and my guess is if that's true, Bill will at least use him some as a safety.
Well, if he's not going to be a candidate to be a starting corner, then I say Ellis Hobbs is a starting corner.
What if they draft Vontae Davis at 23?
I think Ellis Hobbs will be a starting corner.
We are having intermittent internet bandwidth issues in the stadium, and at this time they are affecting the live stream.
Oh, good.
We'll end with Paul's email from London. From London, I can give you ideas for whatever type of restaurant you want and need, whether a place that sells burgers, yes, we do have McDonald's and Coke, or a high-class restaurant that the crafts would want to dine in. I'll be able to give you the names of some places. Second, go to pfwinprogress.com for an exclusive interview between myself and Connor Barwin. Well, I say interview, but it's more like a conversation from Facebook in the mock draft that is now taking place between the online users. Next, after signing up to PFWOnline.com, I've enjoyed reading through a lot of the old issues as well as the articles. Great addition by the Kirschmeister. And finally,
Andy
I've got
Hart.
Some money.
Give me a nod for that one.
I've got some money saved up, and to remove the guilt that I have from listening to the show for free, I'll buy you guys a lunch from Papagino's Online in the future.
Yes.
That way, if the order is screwed up, it's my fault, not Dan's. All right, well, that's...
We will eat that lunch in the future.
That's it.
Even if it's screwed up.
This edition, we didn't get to all... Oh, geez, all these emails just kept coming in. We didn't get to all of them, but thank you for listening.
If you heard it.
We'll be here on Thursday, so see you next Thursday.